We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
Go, New York, go!
Go, New York, go, New York, go!
Say, go, New York, go, New York, go!
Go, New York, go, New York, go!
We're back on track on the floor, scoring Morris 94. And the Knicks are hardcore. And I'll tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper. With Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper. It's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that takes. We're shooting three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't wanna miss.
I haven't asked for this song in a long time, folks. This is Jesse Itzler. Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go. A swish, threes by Starks and dunks by Smith, and no rebounds. If that's the case, we put.
So this song was written many, many years ago when the Knicks were like a really good team. There was a time when Bernie and I first started working together. In fact, in the late 1990s and early 2000s, I was a little past the Patrick Ewing era. Knicks, of course, went to the finals in 1994 and lost to the Houston Rockets. In fact, one of the NBA Finals games between the Knicks and the Rockets. The night, I think it was game five, that everybody remembers is not the game, not Olajuwon and Ewing, but the white Ford Bronco chase with O.J. Simpson. I think you were at that game, weren't you, Bernard?
I was there, yes, indeed.
And you were probably inside the lobby like everybody else watching the Simpson chase on TV and not the basketball game.
I went to the, what the hell was the name?
The play-by-play.
Play-by-play.
Yeah.
Was it the, no, it wasn't the
yeah.
play. Well, whatever. I went there.
Mike Breen, Mike Francesa.
Yeah, we left the game, actually, to watch the chase. I was there sitting courtside.
Yeah.
If I may be so.
Look at you.
So hoity-toity.
Mr. Howard Stern, Chris
yeah,
Rock.
That's right.
That's you. So that was 94. Then, of course, the Knicks returned to the finals in 1999, lost to San Antonio. And that was pretty much the end of Patrick Ewing. And since then, for the last 20-plus years, outside of one season 7 years ago, when Carmelo Anthony and the Knicks won 54 games, they have been the laughing stock of the league. Now, before this season, just so you folks know, because this is not a sports station, the over-under for total wins in Las Vegas for the Knicks was 22. If you win 22 games during an NBA regular season, you are pathetic. That's what they expected from the Knicks. Well, the Knicks have already won 38. They're a half game behind Atlanta for the fourth spot in the Eastern Conference, which means home playoff games at Madison Square Garden. And they're one of the best teams in the NBA this year. And yes, for the first time in 7 years, you can officially say this morning after the Boston Celtics lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. You can say it, Bernie. The New York Knicks are in the playoffs. Is that unbelievable?
Well, who was the guy that there was a basketball NBA player who said, whoop-de-damn-do?
A whoop-de-damn-do?
Who was the guy that said that?
It wasn't Bill Walton, I'll tell you that.
It was. You would know who it was. It was famous back in the day. But that's my response. God bless.
You're not happy?
I mean, I got
it's great
I got
the
other
city.
Problems. It's good. It's nice.
It's great for the
it's
city.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
God bless. Let me know how it turns
Return
out.
Return to normalcy and exciting for the city. You need these things. Bernie, all we talk about every day are race riots and boarding up your buildings and people getting beat up and we hate the cops. Knicks make the playoffs is a good story for New York City. It's a bigger story than you're making out to be
it
right now.
It was Derek Coleman from the New Jersey
Nets. D.C.
Derek Coleman.
Syracuse a graduate, by
yeah.
the way. Yeah, he was a rough guy, Derek, but a good ball player.
How'd the Mets do yesterday? Matt Harvey got beat up, right?
They killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mets have won seven straight.
All right, so there you go. You got a lot of positive sports news
yes!
out there.
Yes, Mets are in first place. Yankees won again. They're in second place. The Knicks are in the playoffs. The Nets are the 2 seed. I mean, right now, believe it or not, the sports scene, the Islanders in the playoffs against Pittsburgh next week, the sports scene in New York is really exciting. And how many other good things do we have going on right now? Eric Adams?
Not many.
Believe
it or not, we had a cop shot last night in Brooklyn. And it was the violence was off the charts yesterday in the city. Underground, overground, everywhere. And they did catch Farrakhan Muhammad.
In Florida.
They caught him in Florida.
I think he was in Boca.
Brought him back up to New York.
Yeah.
And they released him with a desk appearance ticket.
Which we knew was going to happen.
No, they didn't really do that.
But, what do you mean? He'll be released today, probably. Nobody died. He only shot a four-year-old and some Rhode Island woman in the thigh.
But it didn't happen yet. I was just joking.
No, but he did get arrested in Florida.
He got arrested in Florida yesterday. Yeah. Farrakhan Muhammad, the guy who shot up a four-year-old girl in Times Square.
Right. And a lady, too, from Rhode Island, the tourist.
Two tourists.
Yeah, it's terrible. You know, it was another rough day. That's why I purposely started with the Knicks today, because in the big scheme of things, it's complete nonsense. And everybody, not everybody, but a lot of folks hate the NBA players. But put all that aside, and for New York, we have something positive to talk about, even though, again, Knicks winning a playoff game does not mean more to this city than somebody getting shot walking around Times Square.
Well, how about Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck pissing off A-Rod? We can talk about that. That's a feel-good story.
That is. Matt Damon is out there celebrating for his buddy Ben Affleck, who, you know, they said last week that it was just platonic. But as it turns out, that story about A-Rod and Madison from Southern Charm on the Bravo channel. By the way, congratulations to Dolores and the girl from Real Housewives of New Jersey. Their season finale was last night. But Southern Charm is on Bravo. And at the same time that A-Rod and Madison supposedly had their fling, that's when Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez started seeing each other again. And it's not platonic.
In the meantime, you have the Jews and Arabs lynching each other in the streets of Jerusalem.
And Times Square, almost, too.
Almost.
Big rally
but literally in Jerusalem.
You know, Dov Hyken I spoke to yesterday, because after I left Columbus Circle, I said, here I was this morning out there, you know, supporting the Italians, the Italian-Americans. I should be out there
good
today.
Job.
Thank you. I should be supporting Israel. So I called Dov Hyken. He actually flew to Israel yesterday.
He's crazy.
Him and his family.
I hope he's not in Jerusalem. It doesn't even matter. Tel Aviv is being hit by rockets.
Right.
A bus was lit up on fire, hit by a missile. A bus in some city, a city called Lod or whatever that
was. Well, here's all you need to know. He was supposed to go 2 days ago. They canceled his flight. You ready for the reason why? Violence.
Oh,
and he still flew out yesterday.
It's bad. It is bad. They say it's going to be, it's going to get a lot worse, they say. I don't know. I mean, good job, Joe Biden.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about today, folks. It's not all good stuff like the Knicks. A lot of bad stuff, too. But we got three magnificent guests today. It's going to be a great show. The weather is gorgeous. And unlike yesterday, I'm in a very good mood today. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. This guy's always in a good mood. Even if there is traffic on the Belt Parkway, it's our good buddy Joe Nolan.
There's always traffic on the Belt Parkway. Go either direction.
Today at 5 o'clock. Join Rita Cosby for a special interview with former President Donald Trump. You can go to WABCRadio.com to submit a question that may get used as part of the interview. Rita Cosby and the big guy, former President Trump, live today at 5 o'clock on 77 WABC.
That sounds so good.
Good stuff, Bernard. We got a big show coming up before President Trump. Staten Island City Councilman Joe Borelli will be here at 7:25. If you missed the early show with me, Frank, and Juliet, you missed why he's going to be here. It's pathetic. Once again, I've even nauseated myself, if that's possible. But we'll tell you why coming up at 7:25 when Joe stops by. 8:40, Bill O'Reilly, always a great segment. And 9:05, the lovely Dr. Nicole Sapphire. She's going to try to convince me or not convince me to get Gabriel, my son, who'll be 13 in November, the vaccine. I'm not getting it, no matter what Nicole says, for my son. My thought is she's going to say he shouldn't get it. He's too young. But you never know.
I'd be interested to hear what she says. All the science indicates that he should not get it. But she's the professional, right? We'll defer
that's
to her.
Right.
At least we'll listen to her.
Right. Well, we'll listen to her, and then we'll do whatever we want.
Exactly right.
Because that's what
we'll factor in all the information because it's a free country.
That's what we do. Talking about free country, we did have the big press conference.
So up to now, it is.
Right.
For now.
We're starting to lose that. Columbus Circle, I do want to send congratulations out to Arthur Idala, famed defense attorney, good friend of me and Bernard. Put together quite an event yesterday. Joe Piscopo was an amazing host. He's great at that. You know, he hosted John Catsimatidis' birthday party this summer in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
He really is great at that. So he was on the mic, and Arthur spoke, and Bo Dietl was there, Curtis Sliwa, Fernando Mattea.
They made all the news. It was all over.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
But you notice that the Jew they didn't put on TV yesterday.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
There's a built-in anti-Semitism. No doubt about it, in New York.
I mean, everybody that spoke at this rally yesterday, and Bo could attest to this, Piscopo, Arthur, the first thing they did, I swear, was, hey, Sid Rosenberg, thanks for coming today. Swear to you. I'm taking pictures. I'm getting mobbed by the people out there in Columbus Circle, and they leave me out. Right, I saw all the news.
You were the A-list celebrity.
I was the guy.
And yet the news coverage omitted you.
They left me out.
It clearly has a racist undertone or an anti-Semitic, the same thing, right? it was absolutely an outrage. But good for all of these guys. Yes, de Blasio and all those guys denying that they even knew about it. Just change it. Just change it back to Columbus Day.
I mean,
we've been over it a million times.
You think he will?
No, I don't. Yeah.
Big Bird doesn't have a clue.
But we gotta hold his feet to the fire. I mean, you gotta if you don't say anything, then silence is violence. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means, but I think you're right. Anyway, they came out in full force. They did a really good job. You know who was not there? It was Joe Tacopina, and he's the one who actually told me about this event last week.
Maybe he had a very important court appearance. Or he was hungover. Who knows?
Or he just didn't feel like coming. I don't
Wake
know.
Up.
He wasn't there.
But good for them. Good for all of them.
Yes. And I did find out, Borelli told me that not too far from there, in Times Square, there was a big rally for Israel.
Yes, a big, huge, bigger than the rally that was held at the Israeli embassy. It was actually hundreds, maybe thousands of people in Times Square.
Any of the big leaders in the Jewish community there that you know?
I did. You know, they gave it scant coverage on the local news that I saw. I swear to God,
yeah.
They just glossed over it, but they showed the crowds. And then, boom, on to the next story. I mean, it's like they want to stay away from it.
Interesting.
Just like Andrew Yang.
Right. Well, Andrew Yang, we'll get to him, too, and Eric Adams. A lot going on, folks. And don't forget, at the bottom of every hour, well-produced by Chris Libertini, the WABC Clip of the Day, and sports at 35 all morning long, too. I just don't want to miss you. Folks, go to WABCRadio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee, proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the morning on 77 WABC. I have a nice hot cup every morning. Barry House Coffee, register now and good luck. You know, I'm reminded by our boss and owner, and as he says now, we should always preface our conversations with John Catsimatidis and his beautiful wife, Margot, as friend. Remember, he saw you on Monday and he said, I'm your friend.
Yes. And I feel that, actually.
100%.
Both him and Mrs. Katzman.
Both.
Margot.
So we got screwed twice yesterday by the media. One is I was front and center, Columbus Circle. I was the guy. I mean, Piscopo and Artie did a great job, too. Don't get me wrong. But they let me out of it. And then let's not forget that 9 hours before Fox News, the New York Post, Eyewitness News, any of these folks said the Colonial Pipeline deal is over. Bernie and I had it. Now, of course, we had it because Catsimatidis texted it to me in the morning and said, I've got a really good source. It's not 100%, but the ransom is paid. Looks like we'll be out of this by Monday. We had that at 8:18 a.m. yesterday morning. Nobody else had it until 4 p.m. yesterday afternoon, and none of these people, not one of them, made mention that Bernie and Sid said it first. So,
you know what? I wasn't in a really good mood, but
now the media is pissing me off.
Maybe you weren't screaming as loud as you're screaming now, and they didn't hear you.
Maybe I should scream louder, right?
Yeah. Scream a little louder.
Well, I was in a good mood. Now I'm in a bad mood.
Well, it's okay.
You sure?
The pipeline is not back up and running, but in the coming days, it will be fully functional. And as you pointed out yesterday, as we were told, breaking news, John Catsimatidis, they paid the ransom. They paid this criminal enterprise in Russia the ransom. You don't hear that on the fake news.
They had no choice.
Yeah, but you don't. You just hear it's been solved, it's been settled. They paid the ransom, is what happened. And yesterday, that you had Joe Biden talking about. Well, yeah, we need cybersecurity. You know this $2 trillion non-infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
It contains not a cent for cybersecurity to protect our infrastructure. Can you believe that?
Well, only 6% of the bill deals with infrastructure, which people know about,
bridges, tunnels.
So it's no surprise that there's no cyber as well. They're not fixing the bridges.
How can you come out yesterday and say we need cybersecurity? Listen to what the idiot said to Biden.
President, what do you say to Americans who are worried about the supply of gas and rising prices right now?
I think what this shows is that I think we have to make a greater investment in education as it relates to being able to train
Come on, Pop.
And graduate more people proficient in cybersecurity.
Yeah, so how can you make a statement like that knowing that your non-infrastructure bill, $2 trillion worth, by the way, the numbers came out for inflation yesterday. They were horrible. Yeah. We are in big trouble because of money like this that we don't have that we're printing. But how can you say that when there's no money in the infrastructure, supposed infrastructure bill for cybersecurity to protect infrastructure?
Well, don't worry about it. He's the king of, I'll find another $2 or $3 trillion. He's looking at maybe spending as much as $10 trillion for a country that has no money. So he'll find another $2 or $3 trillion.
Son of a bitch.
There you go.
By the way, the energy secretary, this idiot, she is so, so bad. She was actually saying yesterday, you know who she is? She's a former Michigan governor and then longtime smart-ass MSNBC commentator, Jennifer Granholm. And she's dumb. She's stupid. And she's our energy secretary. She actually said this about, play the one about electric cars. And then she laughs. She's got this smirk on her face. Listen.
You know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you, clearly. There's a lot of broader questions in this, and we hope that we'll be able to see that investment in infrastructure that will facilitate clean and renewable energy.
Yeah, all you idiots online waiting for gas, if you had an electric car, you wouldn't be suffering through this. You morons, you should have bought an electric car for $55,000. This is who the people who are running, we are in trouble, bro. Big time trouble. I hate these people.
Listen, there's not a lot to like. I wouldn't go hate yet for me, but there's not a lot to like. It has been as bad as you said it was going to be leading up to it. I really wanted you to be wrong, but you weren't. Not yet, at least. We'll see. I mean, the one thing Joe Biden did do yesterday, and I'll give him credit more than you will when he does something I like at least, is he did say that Israel has the right to defend themselves. He did say that. Now,
Wow, that's such a low bar.
Listen. If you're going to kill him all day, when he says something we agree with, you got to give him credit.
Right, but I mean, it's just like to say, you should wear a coat when you go out in winter.
We were saying 2 days ago that they weren't getting any support from the government, so he gave him some support.
Here's what I want to hear. I want to hear him condemn Ilhan Omar for calling the state of Israel a terrorist state.
Well, that's not going to happen.
An apartheid state.
Not going to happen.
Then I'll give him credit. But for saying stating the obvious.
His job? It's not really the job.
Sure.
She's in the House. She's in Congress.
You need Pelosi and you need
the
top Jewish elected official in the nation, Schumer, and Biden to come out and condemn those people.
Schumer more than Biden. Biden's the president of the United States. He's not worried about Ilhan Omar. Trump did stuff like that.
Excuse me. He's worried about Ilhan Omar and AOC. That's why the Keystone Pipeline got canceled.
That's fair. Well, I still want to hear from Chuck Schumer, though. He is Jewish. And he is the highest ranked.
And Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and even Nancy Pelosi. Where are all these people? They were all silent. They went to their microphones at the drop of a hat. But all of a sudden, radio silence on this because they were afraid.
All right, fair enough.
They're full of crap.
Bernie's right again. 1-800-848-WABC. Joe Borelli. He is the king of Staten Island. He's moved past John Tobacco, Frank Morano, all these people.
Oh, I know. Oh.
I know, Joe.
Oh.
I shouldn't say that?
No, not about Frank, though.
He's going to join us at 7:20. What is this? Why, are you worried about Frank Morano?
Yeah, I love Frank Morano. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's not so thrilled about you, I got to be honest.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time.
No, he loves you, too.
Everybody look to their right. Can you feel that? Yeah. We're better than love tonight. It's not about the money.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app, also out in eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And it is all about the money. This big report about inflation that we've been warning you about, I have anyway, for a long time. It's come to fruition, folks. We are screwed. But a lot of other things happening yesterday. We're going to talk to Joe Borelli. We're going to talk to Bill O'Reilly on the Bernie and Sid Show. A lot of crime in the city yesterday, but the New York Knicks, they made the playoffs. And Matt Harvey got punched around yesterday.
And she reaches out.
Little Green Apples.
Takes my hand.
Frank Sinatra.
Squeezes it.
This goes out to our good buddy, colleague and friend of mine from the show Gravesend, who was in 2 weeks ago, Chris Marmando. Enjoying his cup of coffee right now somewhere in New Jersey. This is his favorite song, Frank Sinatra, Little Green Apples.
That warm my heart and see the morning.
And while we're on Frank Sinatra, I have to tell you, as I told you about 30 minutes ago, at that rally yesterday at Columbus Circle, as we try to save Columbus Day with all these great Italian Americans, Joe Piscopo was amazing. I love Joe. I love him. Wrap up your weekends with the aforementioned Joe Piscopo. It's Ramsey Mazda's Sunday with Sinatra. Expanded now to 3 hours every Sunday night from 6 to 9. Joe Piscopo plays the best Sinatra songs combined with great stories and insight on the chairman of the board. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Ramsey Mazda's Sundays with Sinatra featuring our dear friend, he's so good, Joe Piscopo. It's right here on Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Yeah, you know, yesterday the city council, they solved all our problems here in New York City. They banned straws.
I saw that.
We're good to go. They kill fish. Now, if only,
did they do that years ago, though?
If only they could determine that these masks kill fish or dolphins or something like that.
Right.
Then we'd be good to go.
But didn't they ban straws years ago?
They officially here now yesterday, with exceptions for disabled people. But the other day, too, the city gave the city actually gave this is their solution to the crime against Asians. They gave them whistles. These guys got all the solutions. They gave Asians whistles. Can you believe that? Jesus. That's unbelievable. Hey, listen. Yesterday, a cop got shot, by the way, shot in Brooklyn by a gang member. This comes a week after another gang member from the Hoolies out in Brooklyn. He was arrested for killing the one-year-old Davell Gardner, the Hoolies. Ever hear of the Hoolies?
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I never heard of them. I know when I was growing up, it was the Black Spades and the Savage Skulls in the Bronx. And they used to wear colors. They walked around the streets like that. It was really terrifying. Now it's the Hoolies. However, down in Washington, D.C., you have this guy, the Department of Homeland Security guy, Mayorkas, right?
Yeah,
you know this guy.
Yeah, he's the first Cuban to ever hold that position.
Yeah, well, and Merrick Garland, what is he? Is he Jewish? I don't know.
I think he is Jewish,
or
Merrick Garland.
Maybe he's Polish, whatever. Either way, he's the Attorney General. You have all this crime and craziness, and you have criminal enterprises hacking our pipelines, causing gas shortages and, long lines and all that stuff. But these idiots are down in Washington, D.C., and they're talking to this Senator Pat Leahy, and this is what they come up with.
Do you agree with your predecessors that white supremacist extremists remain the most persistent lethal threat in the homeland?
I do believe they do at this time, Mr. Chairman.
The top domestic violent extremist threat we face comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race.
That's our Attorney General. I mean, are you kidding me? This crime that's going on, the biggest threat we faced, there was a 14-year-old girl horrifically stabbed in Florida. That's the way they described it, horrifically stabbed. I mean, all the crime in New York yesterday, so the cop was shot. He was saved by his bulletproof vest, by the way. Mm. I don't know his name, but that was out in Brooklyn, thank God. An 18-year-old girl in Albany was a beautiful young black girl. She was studying to be a nurse, believe it or not. She was shot in her doorway, shot in the back in her doorway and killed. And I don't think it was white supremacy. Just something tells me none of this was white supremacy. But yet, these idiots, these morons, and they know better. They know better. They know that this is complete and total caving to the woke supremacists out there. They're afraid. And I don't know. It's just kind of sickening. And then you have people like we talked about it earlier. I played the clip. Michelle Obama on with Gayle King, perpetuating the lie that the cops are racist, white supremacists, and she's worried about a daughter taking a subway. Michelle Obama and none other than Diamond and Silk gave the best response to Michelle Obama's race baiting. Listen to Diamond and Silk.
She is an elitist.
That's
she
right.
is rich. Her daughters is rich.
Yes.
She pretty much don't have anything to worry about. And on top of that, it's white people that sits and makes sure that they're protected.
That's
so
right.
What is she talking about when she talk about she fear for her daughters being out here and they judge her based on the color of her skin?
That's
what
right.
about all these people judging white people based on the color of their skin? And when you talk about this critical theory thing that they won't talk in
uh-huh.
the schools,
right.
I also think that that's dangerous.
That's right.
Why do you want black people living in the pains of their ancestors? Do you want white teachers to teach that? And then you have black people get offended, oh, because we don't like the way you said that.
Uh-huh.
If you want to know something about your history, how about the Democrats tell us about their history? How they didn't want slavery to end.
Yes.
How they brought in Jim Crow. Mm. How they brought in the KKK
right.
to intimidate, manipulate, and to dominate. If you want to teach our children something, teach them how to own businesses and
right.
turn them into corporations.
You hear this?
Teach them how to join the 1% instead of standing at 99%. That's what you can teach our young people.
That's
those ladies are so
the best.
Smart. They're funny, but they're spot on.
How come they never come see us anymore?
Well, we don't invite them.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
Oh, we don't?
When was the last time we invited them?
They're on Newsmax, I think, every Saturday.
They have a show on Newsmax. Yeah. I think the last time we had them was with when we had the Newsmax guests on Wednesdays. So it's been a while. Yeah.
Let's get them on.
All right.
Yeah.
We love
great.
Those ladies.
They're
terrific.
Great. They're fantastic.
And speaking of ladies, this useful idiot, this fake news useful idiot, swamp rat, Liz Cheney, she got her ass kicked out of the leadership position in the House of Representatives yesterday. And by the way, nobody really cares. This is a fake news, manufactured crisis. Can you tell me the
number? Who cares?
Right, exactly. Can you tell me the number three or the number two person on the Democrat side?
Well, it used to be Tom Perez and the creep from Minnesota.
No, they were in the. That was the DNC. That was the Democratic.
Oh,
National
you're talking
Committee.
About? Yeah, it's Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
Chuck Schumer.
No. He's the Senate. He is the sense. In other words, nobody knows, nobody cares. It's a manufactured crisis just to keep Trump in the news, as we talked about yesterday, as a lot of people have observed. That's what it's all about. She's just, again, a useful idiot for the fake news. And for that reason alone, she should be kicked out of any leadership position. But to my point yesterday, the fake news in the past, before Donald Trump came along, her father was the most hated person in politics.
I agree.
By the fake news. And here is Rachel Maddow and Doug Brinkley from back in the day proving that point.
Once upon a time, it was just the liberals who used to scream war criminal at Dick Cheney in public. Now it's something the whole family can enjoy.
If we go back to Dick Cheney, Darth Vader tactics, then President Obama thinks it's not going to work.
Just want to remind people of that her father and her, they consider her an extension of her dad, just warmongering, and they're right about that. Liz Cheney talks about the big lie. The big lie was the Iraq war, weapons of mass destruction.
That's true.
That was the big lie. Yeah. So she should shut up about big lies. And the big lie also is that there was an insurrection on January 6th. There was no insurrection. There was not one person arrested for insurrection.
Nope.
That is an actual legitimate charge. They were arrested mostly. It was a protest that got out of hand. Trump told them to go peacefully and patriotically protest down at the January 6th for the certification day, whatever the hell it is. And they got out of hand. And they ended up, some of the Capitol cops waved the people in, but they were in there. So most people were charged with trespassing and those types of charges. There was no insurrection. There was none of that stuff. And yet they continue to obsess over it that you've heard. Hey, listen to the fake news on insurrection.
It will always be known January 6th as the Trump insurrection.
Doug Brinkley again.
Clearly this was a deadly insurrection.
Clearly they were attempting to overthrow our government. This is an insurrection.
There is a presidential inspired insurrection. Plain and simple, an insurrection.
An insurrection clearly happened. We all watched it.
Mr. Trump is charged with inciting the deadly January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol.
There you go. That explains some of you.
They still say it.
You're polling out there.
Chuck Todd still says that every Sunday.
Of course.
The insurrection.
That's the big lie.
It's not true. No question. Now, when we get back, we're going to talk to one of our favorite politicians here in New York, Staten Island, New York City councilman. He was one of the guys there yesterday in Columbus Circle alongside, as I mentioned, Idala Piscopo and a host of others. Joe Borelli, also a programming note, coming up at 7:30 this morning on Fox Business. Our owner and friend, John Catsimatidis, will be on with Maria Bartiromo. That's Catsimatidis and Bartiromo coming up at 7:30 on Fox Business. But next, Joe Borelli joins Bernie and Sid. You just made Tony Orlando happy. You know, he's still really good friends with Connie Francis. She was on his show about 3 weeks ago. This is Connie's version of Funiculi Funicula. Yesterday, we hit Columbus Circle. I was the token Jew, but I do play an Italian on Gravesend. I do play Dave Busco, a soldier in a fictional crime family. But the real Italians were out there in full force.
You've been training for that role all your life.
My whole life.
You really have.
It's true.
Like perfect.
But the real guys were out there yesterday. Bernard, Joe Piscopo did an amazing job. Arthur Idala was great. Bo Deedle, Curtis Sliwa. And then I see Joe Borelli. Councilman Staten Island. We both love Joe. He's a great, smart guy.
He is.
And let me tell you how it went. First, let me bring Joe on with us, Bernie. Joe Borelli, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I love the Connie Francis, by the way. There's a video of her singing Where the Boys Are to some of the
great
troops,
song.
Like in the 40s.
Yes.
And it's a tearjerker.
It is. Now, Joe, do you know why I actually asked you to come on the show today?
Because you like me.
Right. I mean, okay, and you're smart. You know politics. You can talk about the Italian Day, the Israelis, Joe Biden. With all those things said, and you're a great TV guest, with all those things said, the only reason why I texted you to come on today was because when I got to the rally yesterday, what was the first thing you said to me?
When is the Israeli rally?
Wrong. First thing you said was, what was it?
What did I say? I forget.
First thing you said to me was, oh, my God, you look great.
You do.
That's
you
it.
Do. Right now I'm in the gym. I'm in the gym parking lot right now because I have the Sid Rosenberg haircut going on for myself these days, but I'm trying to get the Sid Rosenberg body, you know?
You know, you're doing a lot of TV, Joe Borelli. The haircut in the gym is not a bad idea.
No, it looks good.
You look damn good, yes.
You do look good. But that was, I told Frank Morano, our friend this morning, I go, Joe Borelli told me I look good. He's on the show. I don't even care what he wants to talk about. But on a serious note, you were great yesterday. All you guys were great. What'd you think about that rally? And do you think that you can really get this idiotic mayor, Bill de Blasio, to reverse his decision and once again call it Columbus Day?
I think the long-term plan is to forget about Bill de Blasio. He's term limited in 6 months and, 20 days at this point. So it's all kind of moot what Bill de Blasio or Chancellor Misha Porter even has to say about it. I think the best purpose of yesterday's rally was that we're showing the mayoral candidates, we're showing the bunch of clowns trying to run for city council, that the Italian-American community is still alive, it's still vocal. There's still 800,000 Italian-Americans in New York City. There's probably 1.5, 1.6 in the tri-state area in general. And we're going to have a political voice, and one of those things we care about is not, you know, trampling over the legacy of our ancestors who scraped their pennies together and celebrated Christopher Columbus by putting statues up, by lobbying for federal holidays, and doing all the things that I hope every single cultural group who comes to America happens to want to do.
Well, that was a great job, out of you, Joe Borelli, Arthur Idala, Bo Dietl, Sid Rosenberg, everybody out there standing up for the Italians in Columbus Day. And you mentioned the people running, the clowns running for city council. The city council just yesterday, and you are a city council member, just banned straws. And now yesterday we had a cop shot. The violence just yesterday alone was off the charts. MTA workers getting stabbed, assaulted, below the streets, above the streets, off the charts. But the city council is banning straws. I mean, where do you come down? Who's going to be the best, do you think, Democrat candidate for mayor?
I think I was one of maybe five votes against the straw ban. Why? Because I like my drinks in my mouth and not drooling along my shirt, you know, going on my stomach. But look, you know, the rise in crime has actually had a political ramification already. It's become so tangible that the mayoral candidates have sort of shifted. Right now you have Eric Adams talking a bit more pro-police, a bit more towards the subject that we need police to actually be the crime solvers and crime preventers. You saw Yang follow suit, and you saw some of the lesser-tier candidates do exactly the same. Everyone but the far-left wackos like Scott Stringer and Diana Morales, they're all sort of coming back to the reality that the police are not, you know, racist attackers, but the police actually prevent and solve the crimes that plague our city. So I think that just shows me that they're realizing that the bulk of people and voters in New York City are not represented by the wacky far left.
Let's talk about Israel. You did say to me yesterday when the Columbus rally was over, you're heading over towards 42nd Street for the Israeli rally. I didn't know there was one. I have to be honest. As you know, Joe Borelli, I didn't even know. But certainly what's going on there is just, it's crazy. People are dying there every day. And very few Democrat leaders have come out and defended Israel and denounced the people on their side of the aisle. What are your thoughts on what's going on in Israel right now?
Well, it was amazing to see Andrew Yang make a sort of normal statement. I mean, he didn't even say, like, this wasn't Theodore Herzl coming out and speaking for Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang said a moderately pro-Israel statement, essentially saying, we have to support Israel. We hope all the loss of life is avoided. And the left broke down his door in condemnation of the things he said, which is absolutely crazy. So I think if you're like me, if you're someone who's been to Israel, who's been to Ramallah, who's been to the West Bank, who's been to settlements, and you believe in the mission and goals of the state of Israel, then you have to be vocal. And I hate to see people even defending Hamas's actions. Look, you look up Encyclopedia Britannica and you look up the word terrorism, and it's the attempt to get political change through the use of terror. When you fire hundreds of rockets into civilian populations, there is no strategic goal. There is no tactical goal. It is only to get political change through submission from terror. These people are terrorists. It's amazing that the left even thinks that basic fact is up for grabs. Look, we can debate on where the settlement should be. We can debate on how the Gaza Strip and the West Bank should be connected. A whole bunch of legitimate issues out there to debate in a two-state or one-state solution. What's undebatable is that these people in Hamas are brutal terrorists who kill innocent civilians as a goal.
This is why, excuse me, Joe Borelli is on news all over Newsmax. He is so smart.
And Fox News.
That was well said. And also the historical reference to Theodore Herzl, the father of Zionism. Yes. I love it. Joe Borelli, you're a smart guy. I like you. Listen, the governor's race. Yesterday, Rob Astorino jumped into the race. We already have Lee Zeldin in there. Governor Cuomo apparently is going to hang on. I mean, how do you view all that and Cuomo's status right now?
Look, and you have Andrew Giuliani ready to get in the race. I think it's a good thing that you have Republicans champing at the bit trying to get their piece of Andrew Cuomo or whoever replaces him when he goes down in an indictment or an impeachment. I'm supporting Lee Zeldin. I think he's our party's best hope. I think he's our party's best chance. And we'll be doing some fundraisers for him on Staten Island and all around the city in the next couple of days.
All right.
But I'll be honest with you. Rob Astorino's a great guy. If he happens to win the primary, I'll be equally supportive of him. And the same thing with Andrew Giuliani. By the way, Andrew Giuliani, people don't even know this. When the MTA was suffering from a lack of funds during the pandemic, it was none other than Andrew Giuliani who lobbied the president every single day to get the White House's support for funding for the MTA. So all these liberals complaining about subway funding, I know they would hate to realize that it was someone named Giuliani who actually got so yeah. much of the subway funding, and you all could ask Pat Foy, the chairman of the MTA, about that.
30 seconds to go. Are you endorsing our friend, she was there yesterday, Leticia Romero or Vito?
No, I'm endorsing neither of them. Both of them are my friends, but I'm endorsing Steve Matteo, the minority leader.
Yep,
look,
yep.
When you're actually on the front lines fighting against the defund the police movement, fighting against the radical city council, I think that gives you a leg up. So I'm supporting my partner and friend Steve Matteo, who the two of us have built more parks and playgrounds and paved more streets than probably any other combination in the city council. So I'm with him, but again, you know, I'm a Republican. So if either of those two wins, I'll be firing on all cylinders yeah. for them in the general election come November.
Joe, you're a proud member of the Bald Sexy Man Club alongside me and Bernie.
Waiting to go to the gym.
There you go. Go inside and lift every weight in the damn place. Everyone, you
pump
hear me?
It up. Pump
everyone.
It up. Deadlift day. It's deadlift day, Sid. You know, I'm going to feel good today.
Go get him, Joe. You look great. You sound great. We really do love you. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
What a great job. Staten Island City Councilman, and really, as Bernie said, and I said earlier, well, just a smart guy, loyal guy, good guy. That's our friend Joe Borelli. Still lots more to do, including, did Bernie's girl from Yonkers, did she make it to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I've got that answer coming up.
Take it away. Oh, I have to take it away because it's time for the 77 WABC clip of the day. Before Joe Nolan with traffic and Sid will be right back with sports, but on Sundays at noon, Dick Morris explains Liz Cheney's vote to impeach Donald Trump. That's right. He's on Sundays every Sunday at noon, Dick Morris, and he explains again Liz Cheney's vote to impeach Trump and the history behind that vote.
Because breaking up is hard to do.
Breaking up is hard to do, but Cheney and Trump managed it. The reason Cheney hates Trump so much goes back to 2016. The Bush family decided two presidents weren't enough at 1 and 3, and they put up Jeb to run for president. Donald Trump destroyed him. He called him low-energy Jeb, and by the end of the race, Jeb was the laughingstock of the country. He finished first in money raised and third or fourth in vote, and he was out of the race and out of politics. And the Bush family never forgave Trump for that. That's why George H.W. Bush refused to endorse Trump. It's why George W. Bush wrote in Condi Rice rather than back the candidate of the Republican Party. And it's why Liz Cheney, whose father Dick Cheney is joined at the hip with the Bush family, voted to impeach Donald Trump. And it's why that she is O-U-T.
Exactly what I've been saying for months, actually, about Liz Cheney. It's personal with Donald Trump.
You don't care.
Take it away, Mary J. Mary J. Blige and Bono here. One great U2 song. I know Dave gets upset when I play the music too long. I really don't care. I don't care. People love it. Love it. They could do without 3 more seconds of me and Bernie. She did not make the Hall of Fame this year, but I'm sorry.
Well, maybe next year.
What is going... You're like very...
She didn't make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No.
She's not exactly a rock and roll singer.
Doesn't matter. You got rap stars in there.
Oh, okay. So it's a, can we inject racism into this somehow or other?
Well,
white supremacy, perhaps?
Well, let's see. Foo Fighters, they made it. White band.
Okay, there you go.
The Go-Go's, Belinda Carlisle, white band. Carole King, white singer.
Bingo.
Todd Rundgren, white singer.
I think I nailed it.
Nope. Here's where it goes bad for you. Jay-Z made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Did he really?
Yes, and on top of that...
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Tina Turner also made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, she should.
Absolutely, she should.
No doubt about it. Give me a break. Look, the you know, rap guys, whatever, hip-hop, it just doesn't make any sense. But God, you know, if it keeps them happy out there, it gives them something to do. Where is it? In Detroit, this place?
Cleveland,
that's right.
Actually, have you ever been there?
No.
Oh, it's very nice. I've been there. The ceremony is Saturday, October the 30th. At 8 p.m. this year in Cleveland. And again, the folks that made it, the Foo Fighters, the Go-Go's, Jay-Z, Carole King, Todd Rundgren, and Tina Turner.
Well, listen, again, I love Mary J. Blige. She's my girl from the projects in Schlobaum. She's my homegirl.
You drove her in a cab, right?
Well, yeah, of course I did.
Does she remember that?
It was a night she will never forget. Let me tell you, bro. People are confused. I moved from the Bronx to Yonkers when I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And then I drove a taxi after my high school years.
About
6-7 years.
Before you became a radio star.
That's right.
And went to medical school and the Naval Academy.
Well, the Navy
Law
Seals.
School. That's right, the SEALs. And married Carol.
And I went to the Wharton School of Business.
You did that too,
All that stuff I did. And speaking of business... yesterday, these inflation numbers came out. This gas shortage is bad. The whole Bidenomics thing is kicking in. It's just horrendous. There's actually a shortage of tank truck drivers, you know, that carry the gas. Those guys. There's a shortage of the drivers for those tank trucks that carry the gas, and that's contributing to the shortage, not just the pipeline that got hacked, which we broke on the news yesterday here on 77 WABC. Thanks to John Catsimatidis, that they paid the ransom and the pipeline is going to be back up and running fully in a couple of days, thank God. But they did pay the ransom, and this is kind of scary because these guys are now still out there. This is a Russian criminal enterprise, probably affiliated with the Russian government. But they're gonna hack maybe the grid or something else next. Whatever it is, keep a lot of cash handy. Always keep your tank full. Keep your meds, have a plentiful supply of meds, and I don't know, what else? Alcohol, liquor, cigarettes, whatever you need. Food, of course.
Your essentials, yes.
It's actually going to happen. It's actually going to. But yesterday, on the inflation number going way, way up, listen to CNBC Joe Kernan, front page of the New York Post, by the way, Clueless Joe. Inflation highest since 2008. Stocks fell again yesterday, almost 700 points because of the inflation number. Jobless numbers up. Border crisis continues. His flailing presidency, Joe Biden. And this is a guy on CNBC, which is a very liberal network. This is Joe Kernan. Listen.
This is the deja vu I'm having. Crime in New York City, the Middle East, gas lines, inflation. I mean, all these things are happening again. The only thing we don't have are hostages in Iran and taxes going up.
We don't have high interest rates, and the stock market looks good for now, but it just is starting to look, I don't know, I'm having like this horrible deja vu from what happened in the 70s. And who do we have that when this Carter Redux presidency is over, who do we have that's going to come in here and take the, you know, start a new bull market and, you know, all the things that were going on back then, the hyperinflation, the stagflation, the high interest rate, all the things that could happen. Who's going to save us?
Ultimately, I'm always right.
That's the guy right there. He's going to save us. He saved us before. He'll do it again. If not him, it'll be Ron DeSantis.
Did the Post actually say Clueless Joe?
Look.
Let me see.
Right here.
Let me see what it says. You know what's funny about that, and most Clueless folks wouldn't know this. When the New York Yankees, this is true, hired Joe Torre, the headline, the front page of the New York Post read Clueless Joe because he had managed in St. Louis, in Atlanta with the Mets, and he wasn't good. The headline, Clueless Joe. Now, difference is Joe Torre went on to win 4 World Series, appear in 6, and made the Hall of Fame because of his Yankee stay, even though they referred to him in the New York Post as Clueless Joe. I don't expect Joe Biden to have the same success.
Give me a little break here.
So on top of everything else, of course, with the pipeline problem, which I mentioned, that they have this big infrastructure bill, which contains no money whatsoever to prevent cyber terrorism. Nothing. Nothing at all. And you have a bunch of idiots in the administration. I mean, really stupid people like this guy Mayorkas, the Secretary of State Blinken, who's, again, he got bitch slapped, as Sebastian Gorka said, by the Chinese in Alaska.
Get
and
him
he,
out.
He just sucked his thumb. He was almost, oh, you know, he didn't fight back. No, no. These are the people we have leading us. Look at it. You have this idiot Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm. This is what she said yesterday to Jake Tapper. Jake Tapper asked her a question about rising gas prices. Let's just try to follow this.
Prices are about 50 cents higher per gallon today than when President Biden took office. Beyond whether or not you think that your policies are to blame, are you worried that the prices could impact whether or not Americans travel, which is, of course, needed to put money back into the economy?
People need to travel, right. But we need to get the virus under control first. We need to get to herd immunity. You know, why have gas prices gone up? Could that be because of the virus itself as well? Is it? I mean, everything is tied together.
I mean, this is a stupid lady.
That is a terrible answer.
Who could make sense of that? The virus is responsible for gas prices or the gasoline shortage or whatever the hell it is? It's absolutely unbelievable. Then she had the balls, she had the onions to actually say this about people waiting in line for gas or going without gas. Listen to this.
You know, if you drive an electric car, this would not be affecting you.
These are the people. So as I said yesterday as well, this is partially what they want. They don't want people driving around in gas-consuming cars, fossil fuel cars. This is what they want. Just like the border, and they won't tell you this, but this is their Green New Deal strategy, and this is what the Green New Deal will look like.
How dare you!
And in the meantime, she also admitted yesterday, did this lady, inadvertently, she said that pipelines are the best way to transport fuel, oil, and gas. She actually said that. She actually said that, and yet Joe Biden yesterday, he didn't come out and say, you know what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to re-implement the building of the Keystone Pipeline, which is exactly what he should do right now at this point. We know how important these pipelines are and how damaging it is. This is the reason why gas prices were going up before this pipeline company was hacked. Gas prices were going up because he canceled that pipeline and the Keystone Pipeline and other reasons as well. But it's all tied together. It's all tied together. And we have a bunch of inept, incompetent, stupid people running this government. It is very, very scary.
It is. But on the flip side, what's good is coming up at 8:40 this morning, we'll talk about all of this with the great Bill O'Reilly. Killing the Mob came out last week. I believe it's already number one New York Times bestseller. We'll talk to Bill O'Reilly coming up at 8:40. And Dr. Nicole Sapphire, is it safe for your kids like my age, Gabriel, going to be 13, to get that vaccine, which, of course, was approved just a couple of days ago? All that coming up this morning on Bernie and Sid.
And a good friend returns to WABC to sit in for Charlie Kirk this week, Monica Crowley, a good pal. She's back on the air from noon to one this week while Charlie is away. Catch the return of Monica Crowley on 77 WABC today at noon. Now and forever.
There's some Carole King for you now and forever. She did make the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Once again, ceremonies coming up the end of October, day before Halloween 2021 in Cleveland, Ohio. Some good television tonight. Liz Cheney, who Bernie mentioned earlier, was, thank God, kicked out, ousted. See ya. Get out.
Bye-bye.
She'll be on with Brett Baer coming up at 6 o'clock tonight on
At
Fox News.
Who wants to hear from her?
Who cares?
Brett's one of those guys.
She's as I mentioned, a swamp rat, fake news, a useful idiot.
Yes.
And why give her the platform?
Because that's what Brett Baer does, right?
No,
Martha McCallum, those types of
folks.
That's
why people watch Newsmax.
Correct. Until Tucker Carlson comes on at 8. So she's on tonight if you're so inclined to watch. I'm with Bernie. You couldn't pay me to. But then 7 o'clock on New York One tonight, New York City, the top 8 mayoral candidates, including Eric Adams, Andrew Yang. I'm not sure about Stringer. I think him, too.
But yeah, I believe he's going to be there.
All 8 will be debating on New York One tonight. That is worth watching.
That is a big mistake on the part of Scott Stringer, because you look at this guy and you just want to run away. I mean, this guy's not going to lead anybody anywhere.
No. I saw him 2 weeks ago. He was on that Sunday show, that Bill Ritter, who's one of the anchors on Eyewitness News, him and Liz Cho. He does this show on Sundays called Up Close, and it's a local interview show. Gets pretty decent guests, Rodney Harrison, Dermot Shea, local athletes, and he had Stringer on 2 weeks ago when the scandal first broke about his intern accusing him of sexual whatever he did years ago.
Yeah.
And he was lost, Stringer.
You look at him, and your instinct is to beat him up and take his lunch money.
Yes.
I mean, and Andrew Yang, by the way, the English gambling betting outfits, they have Andrew Yang still as the overwhelming favorite.
Stupid bet.
Right. Well, anyway, that was before he apologized for his pro-Israel tweet. As he put it, his overly simplistic pro-Israel tweet. I mean, this guy is a coward. He's a thumb-sucking little girl is what he is.
Yeah.
Caving to these racists on the left. The AOC actually lectured him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, okay, all right, I'm sorry. Take it back. I'm sorry.
I'm the boss.
I never liked him. Eric Adams, I said from day one, is, and we want Curtis to win, obviously, but I've always maintained on that side of the aisle, the only guy that you could hope wins is Eric. I hate to say it.
You know, he pretty much came out with a similar tweet. Nobody attacked him. So he wasn't forced to retract his support of Israel. It'd be interesting tonight to see what happens. So that is,
well,
that is some must-watch TV.
It is.
I hate to pump up New York One, but
me too, but
I want to see some
of that. It depends. If that's Errol Lewis, that racist, who's going to moderate that, then it's not going to be interesting, because he's going to throw them softballs all night, just like he did when he had those stupid public advocate battles
right
on there.
Right,
Eric Ulrich, he made out to be a bad guy.
You know what? I'm not watching that.
No, you're not watching.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it's him. Is it him?
He's going to be him and a couple of local fake news journalists,
yeah,
no doubt about
terrible.
It.
God.
Nah, it's you're right. Forget it. Skip that. 7 o'clock, I'm watching Greg Kelly.
There you go. Oh, talking about Greg Kelly. We've got a Greg Kelly, Sid Rosenberg update. So I leave the gym yesterday about, what time is Kelly's show over?
3 o'clock.
All right, so it's like 2:58, and I can't get messages inside the gym. There's no service at my New York Sports Club on 95th and Broadway.
What?
So there's no service. Don't even ask. It is. There's no air conditioning. Nothing works. I love that gym. I love it.
All right.
And I walk out at 2:58, and there's a text from Greg Kelly.
All right. I got to tell you something.
Well, wait a second.
I'm glad to hear this.
Do you want to hear what the...
Well, hold on. Well, go ahead, please.
No, I'm not going to tell you that.
No, please. I want to hear it. Finish it. Tell the people. I already know. I'll tell them.
No, you don't know. You have no idea.
He invited you on the show. On his show.
Maybe.
And I'm very happy to hear that.
Well, how do you know that's true?
Because I like Greg Kelly.
But how do you know that's true?
Because you told me that. But you're right. How do I know it's true?
I was going to save it and tell you about it later on in the show, but now that the bird is out of the cage, he did invite me on the show, and he said, hey, come on today and talk some fitness, but it was too late. I was already out of the gym, so.
And that's good. So we're smoothing things over, and we're back. We're homeboy. We're boys.
What is that French word you always say, the rapper?
Rapprochement.
Yes.
There's been a rapprochement.
Yeah.
Greg Kelly, he's waving the white flag, essentially.
I think Kelly waved the white flag. Bill O'Reilly next hour. Nicole Sapphire, 9 o'clock hour. Keep it here.
Yeah, they got the
that's right. This is the Hall of Fame Go-Go's to you now, folks. Belinda Carlisle. I have a crush on Belinda Carlisle. The Go-Go's. The Go-Go's, excuse me, not the Goo Goo Dolls.
The
Go-Go's made the Hall of Fame yesterday. These guys, we got the beat. All lips are sealed, the whole thing.
I mean, at some point, they're just going to run out of groups. I mean, because there's no more rock and roll being made, right? So they're just trying to incorporate all the old acts.
Yes.
And stay in existence.
Yeah.
I feel that way. I mean,
I think
the Go-Go's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, it's okay music, but...
It's not Hall of Fame more than I agree with you. It's cute. It was actually in the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Yes. Weekday mornings at 9:40, we play the Peerless Boilers Beat Bernie contest. Play against my guy, Bernie. He's the smartest guy in New York. There's no question about that. Your chance to win a $100 gift card.
True.
No question. And an exclusive WABC Barry House coffee mug. Brought to you by Pete Morgan, Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters. Go to PeerlessBoilers.com or PavilionTankless.com for a dealer near you. Peerless Boilers, they're America's best-built boilers. And then, Dominic Carter is back. You know, I spoke to Wendy Williams yesterday, talking about Dominic Carter. I'm supposed to tape the Wendy Williams show today to be on tomorrow, but I got bumped because they doubled. Hi, Wendy. But she said I'll be on next week, so I'll be on the Hot Topics panel next week. And she's great. When I text Wendy, she gets back to me, I swear to God, in 2 minutes.
Don't tell me you got bumped for a monkey boy.
I think it was Baruch Shemtov, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Dominic Carter is back, and he's the guy that got me talking to Wendy Williams. So I love Dominic anyway, but that was a big deal. He's on every night at midnight. The great Dominic Carter, the Chronicles of Dominic Carter. Keep track of what's going on inside City Hall. Compelling conversation and guests from a guy who's just the sweetest guy you'll ever meet, and that is Dominic Carter. And we'll start the 8 o'clock hour. I'll tell you how we started this show earlier, because we have so much bad stuff to talk about. And Bill O'Reilly is coming up, and Dr. Nicole Sapphire, which is, I do want to congratulate me and Bernie, want to congratulate the New York Knicks on going back to the playoffs for the first time in 7 years. So as Bernie is about to run down the litany of horrible things, horrible, going on in New York for the first time in 7 years, you can say, Corey Zelnick, the Knicks are on their way to the playoffs.
Go New York, go New York,
Mike Breen, how happy is your dear friend Mike Breen?
Well, Mike is happy. I'm happy for Mike. I'm happy for the people around Penn Plaza. They need it bad. They really, really need it. So for that reason, otherwise, I really don't care. But God bless. God bless is all I'm saying. There is some good news. The cops, they actually caught this dude, the Times Square shooter, the guy who shot the four-year-old girl and a couple of tourists, this guy Farrakhan Mohammed. But what's funny about it is they caught him in Florida. He ran out of gas. That's how they caught him.
Oh, that's funny. Is that true?
He ran out of gas. And the front page of the New York Daily News is actually funny. As is the New York Post, and it could apply to both of them. The New York Post has a picture of Joe Biden. The New York Daily News has a picture of Farrakhan Mohammed, and the big headline is, "What a gas hole."
Oh, that's funny.
And that does, of course, apply to Joe Biden as well, who we'll get to in a minute. But yes, Farrakhan Mohammed, he'll probably be returned to New York today, where he will receive a desk appearance ticket and say, come back in a couple of months, please. We're begging you. Yeah. And also, in Times Square, in the Dave and Buster's inside Times Square, a guy was mugged inside Dave and Buster's in the Times Square subway station. An MTA employee was assaulted. A guy was stabbed in the Times Square subway station. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know about Broadway and New York City coming back.
It's not coming back. I took Gabriel yesterday outside for ice cream. I live on the upper west side, upper, not far from Harlem. We walked 3 blocks, Bernard, to the Ben and Jerry's. I swear to you, my son was terrified just to get a vanilla ice cream cone with sprinkles, because at least, I'm not exaggerating, this was a 30-minute walk, 30 minutes, at least 5 deranged homeless people started talking to me and or him on this 3-block walk to Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah,
he couldn't wait to go back upstairs in the apartment. He was like, Dad, he goes, and why do they talk to you? I'm like, I don't know why they talk to me. I guess crazy loves crazy. But he was literally terrified.
No, it's a way for them.
And my apartment's a lot of money.
They're out of their minds. They're insane. But they're also testing you. It's a way to sort of case you a little bit.
Yes.
Whether or not they want to, you know, assault you, rob you, or just, you know, panhandle, whatever it is, it's just harassment, and it's driving down the quality of life in this city. Speaking of which, two dozen parents are suing the city of New York to get kids back in school now, today, tomorrow, yesterday. Get them back in school, in-person learning every single day. They're talking about the damage that it's doing to the kids. They're growing disinterested, isolated, even suicidal. One sophomore, this parent says, her daughter was a former straight-A student, regressed significantly with remote learning. She has been diagnosed with depression and has tried to take her life twice.
And now, why aren't the kids back in school now?
Because the teachers' unions don't want it. Michael Mulgrew doesn't want it.
But what's the excuse they're using?
They want to stay home and they want to do remote learning. They're lazy.
Is because of the virus?
Because
the virus is gone.
Oh, yeah. They use that as a pretext.
Well, there's no virus anymore.
The science doesn't back them up.
There's no virus.
And speaking of science...
Take your mask off in the street. I don't care if you work in this building. Don't walk into this building wearing a mask. I'm begging you.
The virus is over.
You're adding to the problem.
Either you get the vaccination or you don't. And if you don't and you catch the coronavirus, you suffer the consequences. And that's fine. That's the American way of life. It's your choice. My body, my choice. But this guy, Senator Ron Johnson, was on Tucker Carlson. And he was talking about how kids, he had the coronavirus, so he has the antibodies, so he doesn't want to get vaccinated. And he also said he doesn't think kids should get vaccinated. Yesterday they approved, I believe in this state, kids 12 to 15 should get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tucker Carlson talking to Senator Ron Johnson, and Lion Brian Williams plays a clip of it. He's talking to some quote-unquote expert. And listen just to what he says. Listen.
This is Senator Ron Johnson on Fox News tonight.
People ought to respect other people's freedom and liberty and their ability to choose whether or not to get vaccinated or not. I am concerned now about them trying to push it onto children who, let's face it, they aren't in a position of informed consent. We do need to recognize that this is not a fully approved vaccine.
So, Doctor, I know really smart, educated, substantial people who believe him to be a witting or unwitting asset of Russia who would sound a lot like that in American society.
Did you hear what he said?
Yes.
What did he say?
Going to repeat it? Word for word, I can't do that. That's
what did he just accuse Ron Johnson of being?
It's a spy, basically, a traitor.
A Russian agent.
Yeah.
Can you believe this? Because he believes kids should not get vaccinated. Isn't that the height of insanity right now? A Russian agent?
Where did that
come from?
I don't know.
I mean, it's
we're
just,
looking at each other like,
what the hell is
this?
Going on? And what is going on out in Israel, of course, they're actually lynching each other in the streets. The Arabs and the Israelis are lynching each other. We talked about Andrew Yang. What a coward this guy is, a spineless weasel. He tweets out support for Israel and then drops it, of course. And, of course, the administration here, there's silence, radio silence from Schmuck Schumer, the top Jewish elected official in the nation. Jerry Nadler, Adam Schiff, all these guys, even Nancy Pelosi, all the right-minded Democrats should be condemning Ilhan Omar, Tlaib, calling the state of Israel apartheid, terrorist state.
AOC too.
Yes, and just show some support and love for the state of Israel, who is our greatest ally in the Middle East, maybe in the whole world. Who knows? But in any case, CBS News, talk about biased reporting. CBS News, listen to the way they report on the violence in Israel. Listen to this.
Israel's air power on full display as Gaza's tallest building turned to rubble in an instant. It followed yet another day of tit-for-tat attacks where Hamas fires its crude rockets indiscriminately into Israeli territory, only to be met with the full force of Israel's sophisticated weaponry. A different terror is also unfolding across Israel. Here in Bat Yam, an Arab-Israeli man is beaten by a mob of Jewish Israelis.
Yeah, well,
really?
Maybe they were attacked first.
Right, exactly.
You know,
beaten by Israelis.
So you see that, and then, of course, Joe Biden came out and he said, I support the security of the state of Israel. And
I support the Israelis defending themselves.
Right, but we're supposed to say, oh, that's great. That's not strong enough. You got to come out against the people in your party and tell them to shut up.
Yeah, I didn't say it was great. I just said it. You know, he said he did something good.
And
it's not making up for all the awful things he does every day.
And then on top of it all, just one last thing from Biden yesterday. Again, he's being handled by people, of course. Again, this weak, feeble old fool, the imbecile in chief. This is him yesterday as he gave a statement about vaccines. Somebody called out a question and listen.
Thank you.
What's your take on the end of your meeting, sir? Were you optimistic coming out of it today?
One of the 12 I've had. Pelosi, Schumer, and the crew.
Infrastructure, sir, and in particular...
You guys are bad. I'm not supposed to be answering all these questions. I'm supposed to leave. I can't resist your questions.
He's not supposed to be answering questions. We have all kinds of turmoil, the border, the pipeline, the Mideast. And you think this sycophantic media would ask him about Omar and put him on the spot. Ask him a question about that. What do you think about those tweets? People in your party calling the state of Israel terrorist groups. What do you think about that, Joe Biden? Do you condemn that or do you agree with that? I mean, it's simple. It's easy. But they don't do their jobs.
Well, the guy that had no issue answering questions when he was in the same office will be on this radio station coming up at 5 o'clock today, and that is the former president. He wasn't afraid of anything. Donald Trump, he'll be on with Rita Cosby. Katsimatidis Catch at Night coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Rita Cosby live with President Donald Trump. You don't want to miss that. Bill O'Reilly coming up this hour with Bernie and Sid. You don't want to miss that. That's 8:40. And coming up next, Lydia reports on this Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid.
We'll do it live. Do it live.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this report is sponsored by LifeVac. When child dies every 5 days from choking, your world, it can change just like that. And as a parent myself of little Julia, I purchased this device to protect her and my entire family. Go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's LifeVac.net. Now, during a House Foreign Affairs Committee hearing, Representative Michael McCaul of Texas asked climate czar, a.k.a. Frankenstein, John Kerry, about ensuring that this new green agenda, this U.S. climate strategy, wouldn't involve materials that were made by slave labor, by the Uyghur Muslim minority, that they're being detained, basically, in detention centers in the western province of China. So, first, I'm going to play for you Senator McCaul's question to John Kerry. Take a listen.
Because when you look at the supply chain, you look at China, they dominate the critical mineral supply and solar supply chains, all coming out of the Xinjiang province, which we believe is using slave labor to create these renewable energy sources. So my question to you is, how can you assure us or ensure that this quest that we're on, that slave labor coming out of China, where genocide is taking place as we speak, are never a part of the climate solution in the United States.
And keep in mind, all of the batteries for electric cars, not all, but 90% of them are made also in China. So take a listen to hear what John Kerry says in response to that very question. Play it.
Ranking Member McCaul, you're... it is a problem. Xinjiang province not only produces some of the solar panels that we believe are being, in some cases, produced in forced labor by Uyghurs, but also there are a significant amount of rare earth mineral that's used in the solar panels themselves. It is my understanding that the Biden administration is right now in the process of assessing whether or not that will be the target of sanctions. I've heard some discussion about it. I'm not privy to where that decision is at this point in time.
Is that fool wearing a mask?
Absolutely. He's wearing a mask. Nobody is near him. Senator McCaul isn't wearing one, but he's wearing like this thick mask. He's fully vaccinated. It's so ridiculous, this whole thing. They're pushing this green agenda, and they want to claim they're doing it for our own good while making China more powerful, more rich, at their mercy. And I just don't even understand this. As a human being, forget if you're a Christian. It doesn't matter. But these people are being – they're victims. They're victims. They're being detained in detention centers. It's like – it's similar to what happened in Nazi Germany. Could you imagine if Jews were producing solar panels and everybody's okay with this?
I don't think you really understand, Lydia. Joe Biden said that it's a cultural thing. It's okay. It's you know, the Chinese, that's what the Chinese do. I mean, you can't get all upset over it, right?
They imprison a minority population to.
That's what Joe Biden said. It's a cultural.
To get a discount solar panels,
hey,
for us.
LeBron is okay with it, so why should you worry about it? Yeah. Hey, look, you know what? On a related note, regarding that clown John Kerry wearing the mask and products ruining the environment and all that stuff. Heshy Augenbaum sent us this. I talked about it earlier. The city council banned straws here in New York. And
right.
I actually said, if only they can find out that masks damage the environment and kill dolphins or something like
they
that.
They already do, yeah. Frank Morano sent the same thing.
So Heshy sends this. PBS did a report talking about masks. Around the world, 129 billion are used every single month and 3 million are thrown out every single minute. Most are made of layers of plastic microfibers. It's creating a new kind of plastic pollution, contaminating waterways, and hurting wildlife. We got to ban the masks. What are you doing, John Kerry? Take that mask off.
And then I saw yesterday Biden and Harris sitting in the White House having a meeting with McConnell and Pelosi. All four have been vaccinated. All four wearing masks.
It's
what are you doing?
It's insanity, lunacy, and it's at the risk of repetition. It sends the message that the vaccine doesn't work, and they know something that we don't.
Maybe there's some sort of variant out there.
Yeah,
the vaccine doesn't protect you against, or something is going on. It does seem like they know something we don't know.
Or it's just again this virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling.
And, I mean, who knows? These people are absolute cowards and they're lunatics, panderers. John Kerry as well. All of them.
Well, I can tell you this: I went into my neighborhood pizza store yesterday on 103rd and Broadway. Guy makes a very nice slice because I wasn't home yet to order it over the phone. And long story short, I was not wearing a mask. I was inside an establishment, never put it on, never was asked to put it on, didn't even have one in my pocket.
You know, a lot of people realize that this virus, this pandemic is over. And, I mean, cases are still around and more cases will come about.
Of course.
But the vaccine is available to everybody.
Everybody.
If you can get it, if you want. If you don't want to get it, you will suffer the consequences. But we all have that free choice.
Yeah, even in the Starbucks by my gym on 93rd and Broadway, they used to have these plexiglass, separations between me and the register, me and the girl making my coffee. They took them all down yesterday.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of people are
moving on.
Recognizing it. Yeah, but a lot are not as well. Because, again, you went to the pizza shop. I went to the gym yesterday, and everybody's wearing a mask.
Oh, they're still on my gym, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, me
too. I mean, I'm suffocating. I pulled it down. I wait for somebody to tell me.
Me too.
But
after I do a set, I'm begging for a fight.
Yeah. It's absolutely the dumbest thing. And what happened to my body, my choice?
I don't know. I'm waiting for the HR department here. And she knows I love her, to send out an email that says, if you're vaccinated, don't worry about wearing a mask.
It's time, exactly.
Let's just do that.
And the same thing with the gyms. Same thing.
Everywhere.
You show your card when you walk in. You show your stupid you want to call it a passport? Okay, I'm fine with that. I don't want to wear a mask when I'm breathing, dying for oxygen.
Right, I'm with you. Dying.
Come on.
Dying.
Hey, Lydia, thanks for that great report. Appreciate it.
You got it. And I was just I was at the park this weekend, and my daughter, she doesn't wear a mask. And I get dirty looks from other parents because my kid doesn't wear a mask. She's 4 years old, and there was a little – her little boy was wearing a mask, and his mask slipped down, and it was, like, brown inside. It was dirty.
Oh, God.
It was a dirty mask. Like, at least when my daughter, she wears one in nursery school, it's disposable, and then she has several in her bag as well. But it's like, how is that healthy? But it was filthy. Yeah, it's really sad. It's really sad how warped and mind-effed people are
child
in this
abuse.
World.
Child abuse. When wearing masks, playing soccer outside? Come on, kids. Well, for the kids, but not for LeBron James. He can play basketball indoors without a mask. But kids playing soccer outside, they have to wear a mask.
Again, this report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change just like that. And as a parent myself, protect your entire family. Go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. That's LifeVac.net.
Thank you, Lydia. You can check Lydia out at 4 o'clock today on 77 WABC. Lydia Serrani. Joe Nolan with traffic is next. Sports with Sid coming up. But right now, it's the 77 WABC radio clip of the day. Dick Morris. Am I supposed to say radio? You got to take radio out of here. Chris Libertini told me not to say radio. The 77 WABC clip of the day. Libertini. And I did say radio, and now I know why, because it's in the copy.
He also yells at me all the time to please call your show the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. It's not Bernie and Sid. I swear to God, he's a psycho. I love him. He's brilliant, but he's a psycho.
Well, we'll take this radio thing out. Look, Dick Morris is on Sundays at noon on WABC, 77 WABC, and he explains Liz Cheney's vote to impeach Donald Trump and the history behind that vote.
Because breaking up is hard to do.
Breaking up is hard to do, but Cheney and Trump managed it. The reason Cheney hates Trump so much goes back to 2016. The Bush family decided two presidents weren't enough. It wanted three. And they put up Jeb to run for president. Donald Trump destroyed him. He called him low-energy Jeb. And by the end of the race, Jeb was the laughingstock of the country. He finished first in money raised and third or fourth in vote. And he was out of the race and out of politics. And the Bush family never forgave Trump for that. That's why George H.W. Bush refused to endorse Trump. It's why George W. Bush wrote in Condi Rice than back the candidate of the Republican Party. And it's why Liz Cheney, whose father Dick Cheney is joined at the hip with the Bush family, voted to impeach Donald Trump. And it's why that she is O-U-T.
I should have been a pollster. I've been saying this for months. The Liz Cheney versus Donald Trump beef is very personal.
Chad Lopez in the studio, doing such a fantastic job with our station. He really is. He really is doing a tremendous job. Talk about John Katzimatidis with Chad Lopez. His ideas, his insights, his vision is what he brought to John Katzimatidis, and now we are realizing that at WABC. So I want to give Chad the credit he deserves.
That's what the Navy did for him.
Yeah.
Turned him into a leader.
And by the way, we just signed our 3-year contract, so it doesn't do me any good to do all this now, so I really mean it. It's sincere. Chad Lopez is a great boss.
You like that?
Great boss. Anyway, he was the best. He still is the best. He'll always be the best. Where do you get your news? Wherever it is, if it ain't BillO'Reilly.com, you're being lied to. Go to BillO'Reilly.com, the best interviews, the best TV shows, the best columns. And how about his Killing series? Killing the Mob, already number one. Already. It just came out last week. There's a 9 p.m. show here every night. And it's out with me and Bernie this time every Thursday. He's the best ever. The great Bill O'Reilly. Good morning, Bill.
You know, I'm a little confused. You're playing Ball of Confusion while you're introing me.
Well, it's not you.
Just a subtle message?
Well, it's kind of apropos to the times. But, yeah, if you want to take it as a subtle message, we'll deliver it as such. Yeah.
All right, so let me get this straight. So McGurk and Rosenberg have new contracts. Is that what I heard?
That is true, yes. Mm-hmm. We are signed now for multiple years.
Multiple years. Well, you're already 77 years old. I mean, come on.
Well,
you may be 10, but you're old, and they're hoping you die.
Andy Rooney.
I want dinner. Wait.
Hold on.
I want dinner from you guys, all right? Because in McGurk, it's big time. I made him famous on television. I made McGurk famous.
That
is true. I did nothing for McGurk. I just didn't like McGurk. I made him famous.
I give you all the credit, Bill. No doubt about
there
that.
There is some
and
truth
gratitude.
There is truth.
There's
to
a
that.
Lot of truth yeah. to that. Absolutely.
Hey,
so dinner it is.
So
you name it. Popeyes, whatever, Mickey D's, you name it. Yeah. You name the place, Bill.
All right. Everybody heard it. I'm be sending you a time and a place.
I love it.
We're in.
So I got to tell you, Bill, we'll talk about Killing the Mob shortly and the great success you're already having. But I want to bring up another book because I was watching something last week. And I saw a very young and handsome, you're still handsome, but a very young and handsome Bill O'Reilly on a show named Inside Edition. And you were sitting there with a guy who wrote a book that was entitled The Ultimate Evil. What I watched was the 4-part series on Netflix, The Sons of Sam. And that guy's name was Maury Terry. And he died a couple of years ago trying to prove that David Berkowitz was not the only killer, that in fact he was part of a satanic cult, and a bunch of people killed all those people. It was not just the Son of Sam. And I saw you interviewing Maury Terry years ago. Did he convince you of that?
No. But, you know, my philosophy has always been,
if somebody puts forth a provocative point of view, and they have at least some backup for it, I want to talk to them. But I think Berkowitz did it by himself. I think that the NYPD did an excellent job in that case, tracking him, and then the prosecutors took it over. You know what's worth thinking about? How effective the New York City justice system was back then, and compare it to what's happened now. It's like two different countries. I mean, now in New York City, they caught this guy who shot the four-year-old in the leg in Times Square. They caught him, finally, 31 years old, 9 arrests. The DA's office, because BillO'Reilly.com, our investigators, called Cy Vance and said, what happened on the other arrest? This guy was, you arrested him for having a shotgun and a handgun. What happened? You know what they did? The DA sealed it so the press can't find out what the justice was to this guy, Mohammed, whatever, okay? And I'll tell you what, they wouldn't have sealed that if anything happened to him. They just don't enforce the law anymore in New York City, which is why people are getting slashed on the subways. Four-year-olds are getting shot in the leg. People in tough neighborhoods can't come out of the house and go to the grocery store. And do you think that Cy Vance, the DA, or the mayor, de Blasio, or the governor, Cuomo, care? Do you think they care one whit about any of that?
No.
The answer is no.
No,
right? And that's just shocking. That's way beyond politics. It's way beyond discussion. It's not even a discussion. This is just shocking that the most powerful people in New York State and city don't care if somebody comes up in a subway and stabs you. They don't care. They're not going to aggressively prosecute the person. I mean, I'm sitting here going, what is this, Albania? Is that where we live now? Where you can just run wild and do what you want? The answer is yes.
No,
but get back to your thing. Berkowitz did it by himself.
You're 1,000% correct, Bill O'Reilly. And they continue, do these politicians, to demonize the police. But you mentioned, of course, the crime associated with – that's the root cause, is demonizing the police, the crime, and these guys being lenient. But it's like, as has been observed recently, it's like we went back to the 70s. The front page of the New York Post has a picture of Joe Biden, clueless Joe, inflation highest since 08, stocks falling again, jobless numbers up, border crisis continues. And so my question to you is leadership at the top, Joe Biden, and he's got a band of buffoons working for him, this energy secretary, this DHS guy, Mayorkas. I mean, how much trouble are we in with these guys, Joe Biden? And, well, to just tell, assess that, would you please?
There's going to be pain. There's going to be pain. Until the 2022 midterms, when if things keep going the way they are, the Republicans, who are no prizes, by the way. I mean, there are no prizes there on the GOP side. But people are going to experience a lot of adversity. You know what? You know what Biden's favorite phrase is? I haven't seen any evidence of that. I mean, I'm sitting there going, are you... Now I'm reevaluating. I thought he was befuddled and diminished. Now I think he may be an idiot. I mean, I'm sitting there going, do you not know that Americans are paying $1 a gallon of gas more than they were when you were inaugurated? Do you not know that there have been 500,000 foreign nationals come into this country since you've been inaugurated, and that our border patrol and ICE have to deal with 500,000 human beings? Do you not know this? I mean, I'm just sitting there going, and the guy, if you look at his schedule, because on BillO'Reilly.com, our lead every day is to give you Biden's schedule, what he does. He doesn't do anything all day. He doesn't do anything. I mean, he just sits there like Humpty Dumpty. And I'm kidding, I'm going, I've never seen this. No. I've covered every president since Jimmy Carter. I've never seen anything like this. So my question to you guys, because you guys are doing talk radio and you interact with it, when are people going to wise up?
They're not going to.
When are New Yorkers going to say?
They're not going to.
You know, when are the people who voted for Cuomo and de Blasio, going to say, I made a mistake. It's hurting me and my family, and I'm never going to make that mistake again. When will that happen?
I don't think it's ever going
to
happen.
Because that's the key to the whole thing.
I got to tell you, I saw a couple of polls, and I know we don't care about polls, and they only poll Democrats and all that stuff. But they use the same polls for Donald Trump, and I'm seeing these polls, and these approval ratings for Biden are in the mid-60s, mid-60s. And all
those polls are...
I know that
polls are fraudulent.
I know. But all I can, but I can tell you this, it does go to show you how much these people really hated Donald Trump, because we can sit here, you, me, and Bernie, and map out all the things this guy's done wrong, and you just did, you and Bernard, for the last couple of minutes, and I'm telling you, Bill, they don't care. That's how much they hated Donald Trump.
Well, I think that is going to be overridden by their economic circumstance. So you got to buy food, you got to buy gasoline, and if you have money in the bank, your dollar is eroding in value. And sooner or later, most Americans are going to go, this isn't working. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Biden went down to see Jimmy Carter, right, in Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, now I know what he was talking about. He went in and he said, Mr. President, can you just give me advice on how I can ruin the economy fast? You did such a good job. Back in the 1970s, you destroyed it, and in about 8 months. I want to accelerate. I'm being cynical here, but isn't it about performance? So if you got a sports team or my book, Killing the Mob, what if nobody bought Killing the Mob? Well, the publisher's not going to, he's going to say, oh, all right, Bill, we'll, see in another life. Okay? It's performance. But these guys don't have to perform. They don't have to do anything except screw things up. De Blasio was elected twice. I know only 27% came out to the polls, but I'm saying to myself, it's all about personal responsibility. And we live in a time where people are addicted to the machines. They don't put their head up. They're all day long on the machine, and they don't know what the deuce is going on until there's a blade slashing their face on the subway.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm telling you, I'm not overstating this. I am not overstating
it. Nope, not at all. Listen, Barack Obama's most prophetic line, in my opinion, is don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F things up. And, man, has he done that in a warp speed kind of way. But you wrote and speaking of polls and the media, they're covering up for Biden. A lot of people don't realize until they get hit in the pocket.
Of course, but it's not working.
Right.
CNN is just absolutely, it's just blown up. I mean, every show they have, every single show is down 50-60%. So at least that's happening. NBC is as corrupt as any corporation in this country, Comcast. You can't get more corrupt than NBC. They just signed Stacey Abrams to a TV series.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like, okay, that's all right. I'm jealous, by the way. And I'll admit it. I admitted it on the No Spin News last night. I said, I'm jealous of Stacey Abrams. I am jealous. But is there one conservative or one traditional person doing anything at NBC? Anything?
No.
No. The answer is no. And I'm sorry about the terror dog.
That's not right.
She's so upset about Joe Biden.
Yeah.
She's so upset about Biden. She's crazed.
You got burglars coming in.
Well, listen, maybe the dog is actually celebrating and happy about this early monster success you're enjoying with Killing the Mob. Tell us about that.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Killing the Mob, number one on the New York Times list. All right. And not only that, but I beat Oprah.
Wow.
And I beat 60 Minutes.
All right.
So 60 Minutes ran a piece. Yeah. 60 Minutes ran a piece on Michael Lewis, fine writer, who did something on the pandemic. And I said, oh, my God, you got Lewis, you got Oprah, you got Gladwell. I'll be number 87. But we sold 125,000 copies in a week of Killing the Mob.
We are so happy.
And it's burning.
Well deserved. Yeah.
Well, listen,
it's a great, great read. Really is.
It is a great book. And just when you start to get upset about all the things that we just went over, the Mets are in first, the Knicks are back in the playoffs in 7 years, and your book is number one. That's not bad, Bill O'Reilly.
No, I'm now I'm seeing the bright side. And I'm going to walk it back a little bit and say that Joe Biden is responsible for none of this. None of it. He had nothing to do with any of that she just mentioned.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got to love Bill O'Reilly. BillO'Reilly.com. The book is Killing the Mob. Also, 1 o'clock on WABC and 9 o'clock at night on WABC Radio. Bill O'Reilly, all the best. Thank you very much.
All right, and congrats on a new contract, guys. I'm glad you're going to be around.
You too, Bill. Congrats to you. Great job killing the mob, and, of course, all your success, too. You're the best ever, and we love you, Bill O'Reilly. When we get back in the 9 o'clock hour, don't forget Dr. Nicole Sapmeyer is going to stop by. Is it okay to give your teenage kid the vaccine? I know the CDC said it's okay, but does Nicole Sapmeyer think it's okay? We'll talk to her coming up just after 9.
And there is still time to vote for the National Nurses Day finalists. Go to WABCRadio.com and vote for who you think should win the trip to Florida. It's our way of thanking the nurses who we love for their hard work, dedication, and sacrifices.
Pete Bernie coming up at 9:40. Brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Taylor Sports. Dave Labrosi's back today. Our great program director loves himself a little Taylor Swift. He's got the head vibe going. Is this Taylor Swift, by the way?
Of course it is.
Damn right.
Come
it
on,
is.
You don't know this.
You
know it's Taylor Swift.
I like Love Story better.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And I like Style
but
too.
But this is good.
It's a good song. Pete Morgan's Pete Bernie, your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. And we did have a guy who beat Bernie yesterday, so it does happen rarely, like a comet, one of these things from China that fall from the sky and land in the Indian Ocean. Doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
It happens a little with a little more frequency than that, but I appreciate your compliment.
Did it land in the Indian Ocean or did it land in Saudi Arabia? Do we know?
We never found out.
We never found
they
out.
They said they're not sure. It was either the ocean or Saudi Arabia. Really?
I
don't know.
I know.
Mean, a Chinese rocket comes hurtling down the size of a 10-story building, and nobody knows where the hell it landed.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I loved the defense secretary's comment. Well, we're not going to try to shoot it down. We're just hoping it lands in the water.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. That's good. That's confidence-inspiring.
If you have a teenage child like me and you're considering getting that child vaccinated, you're not going to want to miss our next conversation. Dr. Nicole Sapmeyer is next. The entry music for Dr. Nicole Sapmeyer, who's like this monster. You know, you called me the king of all media a couple of days ago, Bernard.
Yes, I did. Not Coward Stern. Sid Rosenberg.
Right. I got a lot going on. I got this show with you, which is a major, major morning show in the number one market in the country. Writing my second book. I'm in a Gravesend TV series. I was presented a movie script this week. I got a lot going on. And thank you for saying that. But I think our next guest may have me beat. She's a doctor at the most important cancer center in the country.
All right, that's not the media, but go ahead.
Senior correspondent at Fox News.
All right, now we're talking.
She's on her second book, Panic Attack, which is an amazing book.
She's getting ready to overtake you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Once she hits TV and movies, then I'm in trouble. Here she is, everybody, Dr. Nicole Sapmeyer. Nicole, how are you this morning?
Hey, guys, I am great. I mean, you know, if any of those movie directors out there are looking for, you know, their next doctor, I'm ready and willing.
Yeah. You're in. That's it. Okay, I'll let them know.
I'm in.
Well, you look the part, that's for sure, Nicole. So congratulations on Panic Attack. And tell us about the book and exactly how it's going.
Well, so listen, it's interesting. I mean, you know, it's really... I would say challenging to write a book about a crisis as it's unfolding, but it's incredible how every single day right now, every media headline is addressed in detail in the book. I mean, just think of just this week, you had Drs. Fauci and Senator/Dr. Paul arguing about gain of function research, which I just completely lay out in the book. And, you know, my whole goal with this book has been to educate people because there has been so much politicization of everything that's happened and so much controversy that for me, I think if I can just explain to everybody what it's been about, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, lockdowns, face masks, explain what really happened and how people weaponized it to fit their own political narratives, I think people will have a greater understanding of what really happened.
You can pre-order this book, by the way, Panic Attack by Dr. Nicole Sapphire. She wrote Make America Healthy Again. Now it's Panic Attack. You can pre-order it. Ladies and gentlemen, do that. Dr. Nicole, you told us late last year on the Bernie and Sid show, you said that with the vaccine, we could be back to normal. We should be back to normal by the spring. And spring is here, and the vaccine is available to everybody. It's our choice, our body, essentially, whether or not we want to get it. So my question to you, Dr. Nicole, is it time for us to totally chuck the masks? Are we back to normal? Do you think we should be back to normal?
Guys, I said in my Wall Street Journal piece a couple months ago, Memorial Day, a maskipation. The mask should be gone. And it's just taken the CDC and Dr. Fauci, ET all. I mean, they've been 2 to 3 months consistently behind the data throughout the entire pandemic. Yes, I can tell you right now, the risk of getting SARS-CoV-2 is negligible. It's non-existent when you're outdoors. No one should be wearing a mask outside anymore. And the mask should start being removed indoors as well in certain settings. Oh. And so the fact that, again, that they're not jumping to up these recommendations just is going to completely dissuade other people from getting the vaccine. And at this point, people are losing their trust in these public health entities. A Harvard poll just came out yesterday showing about 50% of people trust the CDC these days. That's a huge problem when we're dealing with a pandemic still.
No, you're right. In fact, just yesterday, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris had a meeting with Pelosi and McConnell, and all four of them have been vaccinated, and all four are wearing masks. I mean, just I know they're inside. I don't care. I took my mask off inside, as you know, months ago, and it is time to move on. Now, I'm getting my second dose of Pfizer in Brooklyn next week, so I'm just about there. Bernard is there. Different story, though, from my son. I texted you a couple days ago, Nicole, and my son Gabriel is about to be bar mitzvah in November. He's going to be 13. I know the CDC now has given the green light for the shots for adolescents. I am 99.9999% against it. Do you have any reason to make me believe I'm on the wrong side of this?
Listen, I don't think anybody's right or wrong in what they decide to do. You know, my 21-year-old, as I shared with you, he made the decision to get vaccinated. Right. He's going to be working in a summer camp with younger children this summer, and he wants the parents to feel comfortable, and he doesn't want to be responsible for getting a child sick. So I think he made the responsible decision. When it comes to adolescents, that 12 to 15 age group, you know, they have very similar immunobiology to young adults. So they're going to spread the virus just as easily, and they're going to be as affected as those young adults as well. You know, I have more hesitation with vaccinating children under 12, mainly because those children are really the ones who are getting that multi-system inflammatory syndrome. And until they can prove the vaccine itself doesn't cause that, you know, I have hesitation giving it to the younger children. For me, whether or not you want to vaccinate the adolescents, I think it is a great conversation between the parents, the child, as well as the pediatrician. And there's risk versus benefits to everything.
Okay, there you go. It's a personal decision. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, the book is Panic Attack. You can pre-order it right now. Doctor, you just talked about the CDC. They've been telling us, misleading us, essentially, that outdoor transmission, they said, was less than 10%. And that's true. The real number is as low as 1%, maybe 0.01%. And the New York Times, of all people, they wrote this verbatim. Saying less than 10% of people outdoors get COVID is like saying that sharks attack fewer than 20,000 swimmers a year, when the real number is approximately 150. It's both true and deceiving. That's what the New York Times wrote about the CDC. So they didn't just get it wrong. They misled us. Why do you think they are misleading us like that? Well, I mean, what is going on? What's the bigger picture here?
Well, first of all, Sid, unfortunately, I have been saying this for months. I just didn't come up with a very clever metaphor like the New York Times did to grab people's attention. But unfortunately, I think the CDC has continued to have the stance of being overly cautious. And this has been a theme throughout the entire pandemic. While they have had the sole goal of keeping viral transmission as low as possible, they are completely neglecting to acknowledge what those restrictions, what the detriment has been on society. You can't be so, have such tunnel vision to keep the viral spread low. You have to look at it as a bigger picture. And by being overly restrictive and not being able to demonstrate that they can roll back those restrictions when the situation improves, that is why you start getting rebellion. That is why we're seeing the distrust in the CDC. And unfortunately, I think that is why at the end of this, the trust and respect for the CDC is really going to be out the window, and they're going to have a, quite a steep hill to climb to gain that public trust.
Yeah. All right, let's move away from COVID. Because,
should be locked up, actually.
Right, they should be. It's over, and it's been over. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, I think I saw this. You know, we've got the television on, Bernie and I, like nine televisions on while we're doing our show, and we see you on Fox News. And I have to read the scroll because you're doing a radio show at the same time. We can't hear you. But I think I saw you talking a few days ago about a medication, a shot, something to help with breast cancer that is also being approved, if it hasn't been approved already the last couple of weeks. What is that about?
So exciting news. Obviously, breast cancer being my specialty and my day job. Dana Perino and I were discussing it. You know, historically, when it came to treating cancer, you think of that cytotoxic chemotherapy, which not only kills cancer cells, but it kills all your healthy cells, too. Well, then we've moved forward in our technology to immunotherapy, where it's a lot more targeted. We're going even farther now, and they're working on vaccines. And there are many in clinical trials for many different types of cancers, several of them for breast cancer, where they're actually taking the patient's cells and getting them to work and fight the cancer themselves.
Wow.
And this is extremely exciting because, you know, unfortunately, one thing with cancer, we can treat it and we can get it so people have no active disease, but there's always a chance it's going to come back. So by being able to weaponize the person's own body against the cancer so they can fight it through a vaccine, I mean, that's incredible. And it is something to be proud of. And unfortunately, all this good news gets lost in COVID, but we are still in the quest for scientific innovation, which is one of the best things about our country.
Wow. That is fantastic news to hear. Yeah, my sister, my late sister passed away from breast cancer. But either way, and all women are at risk. So, Dr. Nicole Sapphire, thanks for enlightening us. The book, of course, is Panic Attack from Dr. Nicole Sapphire. You can pre-order it now. Doc, thanks very much.
Thank you, Nicole. That's a great job.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
By the way, well, you are like the biggest sports fan, too. In the last 3 weeks, I've seen you and your family at a Net game, at a Yankee game. What is going on with you?
It's time to get back to life, guys. The second things start opening up, I mean, you should see me. I've already gone and I bought Broadway tickets. I have tickets to go to see comedy.
Wow.
We're ready.
I love it.
I like it.
Well, we've never stopped. We always took advantage of outdoor dining. We've never stopped because life shouldn't have ceased the way it had. And unfortunately, the fear mongering kept a lot of people socially isolated. But the bottom line is we have gotten control of this pandemic. The light is there. Some people are still trying to block it, but you got to get out. You got to start living your life again.
And fantastic.
Let's
we love it. Having you, Nicole. That's a great, great job. Stay healthy and be well. We'll talk to you again soon.
Mm-hmm. Cough on somebody.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Nicole. Dr. Nicole Sapphire, the book again, as Bernie said, Panic Attack. Check her out on Fox News. We do need a contestant coming up for Beat Bernie. Comes your way in about 20 minutes. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. More of Bernie and Sid on this Thursday right after this. Oh, this is Bernie and Carol's wedding song. First dance. You know I'm just kidding, Carol. You know I'm just kidding, baby.
She loves this song.
Is she listening right now?
Yeah, and she loves this song.
Who doesn't love this song? It should be, all kidding aside, every first dance, except for Tim Tebow, of course. Oh, don't make fun of Tim. There you go again.
By the way, you know, we were talking about Tim Tebow. Remember the Miss Universe who we had in studio? You and I?
Of course. I think she dated him.
No, that's his wife.
Yeah,
she married him.
I know. That's right. But right. She ended up marrying him. Okay.
She ended up marrying
him. Yeah, she was with him. Yeah. That was his first one, huh?
That was
not bad.
She was in studio with us.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
She was his first one. Like Joe Biden's the best president ever.
From South Africa. What?
He was never a virgin, that guy.
Whatever. Who cares?
I don't care.
It's his business.
You love Tim Tebow.
I do. I think he's a good guy. What's not to love?
I love the guy, too. But I don't go out of my way to defend him. You do, so.
Well, when everybody
it's a Christianity
else, when everybody else attacks him, yeah. I like to stand up for the little guy.
It's
that's
funny
getting
you
attacked.
Say that. That's what I said in the story that Barmash did for Barrett Media. He said part of the reason why Bernard and all these people were so over the top in their defense of Donald Trump. There was actually a good reason for it. It's the same thing, with, like you said, about Tim Tebow. It's when somebody is constantly under attack, when it's not fair and they shouldn't be, then people like Bernie dig in deeper, sometimes to their own detriment, to be completely
honest.
Even
when it's not cool. See, it's
right.
It's difficult. When you have everybody going the other way, the whole culture, everybody. I mean, I went through it for
4 years.
The Ima show.
No, oh, that's true too. That's true too.
I mean, I had to defend a guy who I thought was doing a great job, and was unfairly attacked. Particularly, the Nazis are fine people. Nonsense.
Yeah, no. I put that in the piece. The guy said, "Did you get a company edict after January 6th?" I said, "I didn't need one. I as much as I love President Trump, and he's going to be on this station today." He's on with Rita Cosby at 5 o'clock. I wish he was still our president. I really do. I do think he screwed up on January 6th. Bernie needed to eat it. That's what I said to the Jerry Bomash. Because he didn't really want to criticize him on January 6th. He said, hey, he said, walk peacefully to the...
That's right. That's what he said. I stand by that. And I stand by the fact that the election was rigged.
Right.
It was rigged before election day.
Can we say that now? We couldn't say that for a while.
You can say...
That was part of the edict.
Listen, when the fake news censors a story... about the opposition, about the proposing candidate and his son and their corruption.
Right.
That is rigging an election.
I know, but we were told not to say that for a while. But I think we are past it.
And then there are a lot of questions about Election Day, about the mail-in ballots.
No, of course.
Many, many questions.
There's no question.
But nobody has answered the question. Who ordered the vote counting to be stopped in the middle of election night?
I never argued. I always thought there was... there was some rigging in the election. I'm not ready to say that's why Trump lost. I've never said that, and I still won't say that. But do I think there was some funny business? 100% yes. 100%
yes. And they used, obviously, the pandemic.
Well, they still are.
As a pretext. Yeah, they want to normalize it. Yeah, now they want to take over. That's the HR1 thing, is they want to take over state elections, and they want to make it a normal practice.
Yeah.
And instead of going to the polling place and pulling the lever, which has worked for 2.5 centuries, they want to screw the whole thing up, and they want to cheat. That's what they want to do. And by the way, if they didn't cheat, they'd say, come on, audits galore.
Right,
come on,
right.
Audit all you want.
Yep.
Instead, they fight every single audit request.
I did get a text from Greg Kelly yesterday, so it looks like the Cold War is over. I did not go on the show. He invited me to come on, and he said, hey, Sid, as if everything was fine, call in today and let's talk fitness. Let's talk fitness.
Now, I was
in the. It's ironic. I was in the gym when I got that. And I walked out of the gym at 3:03. He was already off the air. So I said, thank you. I'd love to come on maybe tomorrow. Of course, he hasn't texted me back today. But so the Cold War looks like it's over for now.
Good. Good. Right. Well, I hope to hear you. What will I be doing? I might be sleeping. So
we'll see.
Anyway, I hope you get on today.
I'll text you. He's on 1 to 3. Every weekday, today after Monica Crowley, or early on after Charlie Kirk.
Because the last time you were on, it was the funniest thing I heard on radio all year.
Well, besides us.
Well, yeah.
Right.
It was
second to us.
No, but you were hilarious.
Thank you.
It was funny. And his reaction was priceless.
So funny that I think he hates me since then. Greg Kelly, Inside Opinions and Conversation. It's the all-new Greg Kelly show. He's on today from 1 to 3, and we do like Greg Kelly. So, I guess when you look back at today's show, it's been such a great show. It really has. Bill O'Reilly was great. Dr. Nicole Sapphire was great. Joe Borelli was great. And Bernie and I do this post-show video every day. So annoying. And we do a lot of things that are annoying after the show. If you notice that, we have a post-show meeting. We find that to be annoying. We do a post-show video for that. I think it's what it comes down to is when the show is over, it's not easy to do a talk show for 3.5 hours. I mean, it's easy to do it if you're not good at it, but with the energy and the work that we put into it, it's a very hard thing to do. And when it's 10 o'clock, we just want to go home. We don't want to do videos and have meetings. So, but we do this video every day, which John makes us do, which I'm going to stop doing soon anyway. And we wrap up what we did that morning, right? So when we do that today, what's going to be the highlight? What was the big mention today?
There's so many things. There's not one big thing. There's so many. The inflation number yesterday, the stock market tumbling, the front page of the New York Post, Clueless Joe, and all the things he's screwing up. We talked to Bill O'Reilly, and we talked about it pre-Bill O'Reilly all morning long. That, the fact that they the lynching each other in Jerusalem, believe it or not, the Arabs and the Jews and all that. I mean, it's terrible. And also, they caught Farrakhan Muhammad, and it's so funny. The way they caught him is he ran out of gas.
That is funny.
Ran out of gas. So we can thank Joe Biden for that, for apprehending Farrakhan Muhammad, the Times Square shooter, where there was a lot more violence yesterday as well.
Yep.
But the one thing that, for me, that stuck out that I enjoyed the most, there's a lot of other things we talked about, but including the, you know, the whole mask thing and the vaccine thing with Dr. Nicole Sapphire. But Michelle Obama, earlier in the week, I played these clips of her on Gayle King, a race baiting, essentially, and playing the victim and worried about, you know, her daughter's getting a driver's license and that the police, the racist police, are going to pull them over and all that. And she worries about them riding the subway and some white supremacists coming to attack them on the subway. This is Michelle Obama, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle Obama, who went to Harvard. She was this privileged lady. She was the first lady for two terms in the White House. That's Michelle Obama. Now, Diamond and Silk actually reacted to what Michelle Obama said. And this is what I enjoyed the most this morning, was Diamond and Silk's reaction to Michelle Obama's race baiting.
She is an elitist.
That's
she
right.
is rich. Her daughters is rich.
Yes.
She pretty much don't have anything to worry about. And on top of that, it's white people that sits and makes sure that they're protected.
That's
so
right.
What is she talking about when she talk about she fear for her daughters being out here and they judge her based on the color of her skin?
That's
what
right.
about all these people judging white people based on the color of their skin? And when you talk about this critical theory thing that they won't talk in
uh-huh.
the schools,
right.
I also think that that's dangerous.
That's right.
Why do you want black people living in the pains of their ancestors? Do you want white teachers to teach that and then you have black people get offended? Oh, because we don't like the way you said that.
Uh-huh.
If you want to know something about your history, how about the Democrats tell us about their history? How they didn't want slavery to end.
Yeah.
How they brought in Jim Crow. How they brought in the KKK
yeah.
to intimidate, manipulate, and to dominate. If you want to teach our children something, teach them how to own businesses
That's
and
right.
turn them into corporations. Teach them how to join the 1% instead of staying in the 99%. That's what you can teach our young people.
Yeah.
Right. That is good stuff.
I mean, come on.
That's
that, great. That is such good common yep. sense and great analysis, all wrapped up in, 40 seconds?
Yeah, let's get them on. All right, Matt, contact those two ladies. They love us. On the drive home today at 4, it's Lydia Serrani. Then at 5, it's our guy John Katsimatidis, who was on about 2 hours ago, Fox Business, Maria Bartiromo. They've got the information you need from the newsmakers themselves. They do have great guests on that show, great guests. John covers it all. He's got his pulse on the big stories. He gave us the news 8 hours. 8 hours before anybody else yesterday that the pipeline was solved. Get the truth today and every weekday at 5 o'clock with Cats at Night right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Sid will be right back with sports. Joe Nolan with traffic. But right now it's time for the 77 WABC clip of the day. Dick Morris on Sundays at noon. He explains Liz Cheney's vote to impeach Donald Trump and the history behind that vote.
'Cause breaking up is hard to do.
Breaking up is hard to do, but Cheney and Trump managed it. The reason Cheney hates Trump so much goes back to 2016. The Bush family decided two presidents weren't enough at 1 and 3, and they put up Jeb to run for president. Donald Trump destroyed him. He called him low-energy Jeb, and by the end of the race, Jeb was the laughingstock of the country. He finished first in money raised and third or fourth in vote, and he was out of the race and out of politics. And the Bush family never forgave Trump for that. That's why George H.W. Bush refused to endorse Trump. It's why George W. Bush wrote in Condi Rice rather than back the candidate of the Republican Party. And it's why Liz Cheney, whose father Dick Cheney is joined at the hip with the Bush family, voted to impeach Donald Trump. And it's why that she is O-U-T.
Bingo, Dick Morris. It was all personal.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
John is on Staten Island with retired high school teacher. Got a bunch of those this week.
Yeah, and they know their stuff.
He's today's contestant, Beat Bernie. What's at stake, as always? Thank you, Pete Morgan, Fearless Boilers. A $100 gift card. And a WABC Barry House coffee mug. John, good morning on this sun-splashed Thursday. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Nice to have you. Where in Staten Island are you?
At the Riel. It's a senior citizens living center. Steve.
Are you friends with Joe Borelli?
My daughter knows him.
All right. You like Frank Morano? He's on Staten Island.
Yeah.
He cool, right? He cool. Yeah. You're not overly enthusiastic about any of these people, to be honest, John. Eh?
I like them all. Well, anybody from Staten Island is for me.
You like them more than you like me?
Well, you're the best-looking guy on radio here.
I'm the best-looking guy. Oh, my God. I love you, John.
Wait, was that a compliment or an insult?
I can't tell.
Oh.
You said both. That's good.
Yeah, all right.
All right, I'll take it. All right, John, you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Who was the former Civil War Union general that became the first Republican to serve two full terms as president when he won re-election in 1872?
That's Ulysses Grant.
That's correct, John. At the 1939 World Fair in New York City, the Borden Company had an exhibit that featured a live animal named Elsie. What kind of animal was Elsie?
A cow.
That's right. Still bad today. What is the name of the often outspoken billionaire owner of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know who he is. He's a douchebag. He's on that show, Shark Tank? Yeah.
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 Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax. You'll be
Jesus. You're going to be so mad at yourself. I'll give you a hint. You ready? Here's your hint. Bay of Pigs.
I can't think of his name.
Mark Cuban. All right. Here's number four. You're two out of three.
Oh,
who was the one and only United States president to take the oath of office aboard an airplane in 1963?
That's Lyndon B.
That's right. Why did he do that? Because Kennedy just got shot. All right, last one. Your chance to go four out of five. John, Pearl Harbor and its memorials are a must-see when visiting which Hawaiian island?
Hawaii.
Oh, you're close.
Honolulu, Hawaii.
What?
You're two-legged back of anthrax. You'll be Jesus.
Hawaii.
Oh, Ahu. Anyway, you got three right, and I'm going to put you on hold, John. We'll see how Bernie does, okay?
Big Island.
All right, it's John.
Yes. Johnny is very relaxed. They've probably given him his meds, just took his meds.
Big John.
Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah,
LBJ on an airplane. Why is that? Hello.
Because
Johnny.
Yeah, no, yep. There you go. Come on, wake up.
All right, Bernie, you need four right to win today's game, okay?
Oh, come on.
Nice jacket. You wear that all day today? I don't remember you wearing that.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Are you on drugs?
You just put it back on or something? Or?
Oh, I wore it all morning.
No, you didn't.
I'm telling you.
It's a nice jacket. All right. John Astin wore that jacket when he played the father in the Addams Family.
It is.
No, I'm serious. It's a nice jacket.
It's similar, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, thank you.
Is it John
Astin? You have a nice jacket on as well.
Well, thank you.
Nice Joseph a boot.
It's not a boot. Everybody says that.
Well, you just...
Century 21. This one happens to be Century 21, yeah. It's the only... I have two jackets in my closet from Century 21. This is one of them. The rest are Joseph a boot.
The one that did you buy down at the 9/11 site?
Yes.
The old Century 21?
That one's out of business now, I think, right?
I believe they're coming back.
Oh, they are coming back.
I believe so.
All right. Good.
Don't quote me on it.
All right. I just did. Four wins in the game today, Bernard McGurk. Here we go. Who was the former Civil War Union general that became the first Republican to serve two full terms as president when he won re-election in 1872?
I mean, U.S. Grant.
You got that one right, too. At the 1939 World's Fair in New York City.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
As a history teacher.
That's true. The Borden Company had an exhibit that featured a live animal named Elsie. What kind of animal, Bernie, was Elsie?
A cow.
Still is. He got those two right. Here's where he started going sideways, our contestant. He didn't get this one right, which is, I thought was the easiest one of the day. What is the name of the often outspoken billionaire owner of the NBA's Dallas Mavericks?
That would be Jill's friend, Mark Cuban.
I gave him a couple of hints. I said Shark Tank. I said Bay of Pigs.
Wow. So, Bay of Pigs. What? Now, Bay of Pigs.
Cuba.
Oh, Cuban. Okay,
Del Castro.
All right. Yeah. I'm all right.
Yeah. He didn't get it anyway. Who was the one and only United States president to take the oath of office aboard an airplane in 1963?
These are too easy, man. Come on, LBJ.
Yeah, but then I asked John, why was that the case? And we got nothing.
Are you serious?
No, not even just radio silence.
Wait till I talk to John.
I told him Kennedy got shot. Last one. Now, you've already tied, John. Now you can win the game if you get this correct. You nervous?
Yeah.
You look nervous. Pearl Harbor. You got this one wrong, John. Pearl Harbor and its memorials are a must-see when visiting which Hawaiian island?
You're telling me he got this wrong?
You got it wrong. See, I'm going to be in Kona in a couple of weeks, but not this time.
Oh, this is Oahu. I've been there.
Yeah, well, you've seen the bubbles come up.
I stood right over the USS Arizona, watched the bubbles come up.
Yeah.
You could jump down on it. It's
right there.
Very shallow, yes.
Right there.
And the bubbles are still coming up. And there are about 1,700 sailors entombed
in there.
In that particular ship. As you stand over.
Isn't that
They never took them out.
It's like eerie crazy.
And a lot of them died.
Drowned.
Well, no, they were stuck maybe in air pockets.
They were drowned. Because they were stuck.
The air just ran out.
Right, right, right.
And they couldn't get to them. You could hear them banging on the walls. And they feverishly tried to get out. And they got some out, but a lot they did not get out. And not only Arizona, other ships as well, the Oklahoma, et cetera.
They're all still there.
Well, no, just the Arizona.
Just the Arizona. I got to do that. Anyway, 4-3, Bernie wins again today. Bernie, say hello to John.
5-3.
Hi, Bernie.
No, Bernie got one wrong. He didn't get... Wait a second, you got them all right. Excuse me. Bernie was perfect 5-3. That's
Thank
right.
You. John, how you doing, my brother?
Well, I got a contention. The island of Hawaii was named Hawaii. That's what I said, Hawaii. Each island has a name.
Which high school did you teach at, John? Just curious.
I taught at the High School of Graphics on 49th Street.
Oh!
So New York City Public High School?
Fancy place.
Yes, it was called the New York School of Printing.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, well, listen, John, I appreciate you listening and playing the game. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. All right, there he is, John from Staten Island. One of my favorite contestants ever.
New York City Public School high school teacher.
Hey, he's not stupid. He just has a personality like a car crash.
LBJ?
You got it right.
Oh, I thought you said he didn't get it right.
He didn't answer why that was the case.
Well, okay. All right. Well,
you got to know Kennedy got shot. So it was an emergency and he's in the air and he didn't answer that.
Listen, when we come back,
yeah,
I got to tell you, we like to take phone calls. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. But this speech that Bibi Netanyahu just gave, he put Hamas and the people in Gaza, government in Gaza, on notice.
Yeah.
It'll give you goose pimples.
Yeah. Has she sent that to you?
Yes, he did.
Yep.
It's actually unbelievably a great, great speech.
He doesn't
I'll tell you about it on the other side.
He doesn't take any garbage. And that's why him and Trump got along so well. And that's why he didn't get along with Obama or this creep.
This is ongoing right now. He gave him 24 hours. But I'll tell you what's in the speech on the other side.
All right, we'll do that. We'll come back on Bernie and Sid.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Come on, feet. Start moving. Got to get me there.
Huh.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everyone at 77 WABC app.
25 miles from home, girl.
Also heard out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And I got a copy of this speech that Bibi Netanyahu read to the nation and also to the people of Gaza and Hamas, who runs the people in the Gaza Strip. And I'm telling you, it'll give you chills. I believe he gave it in Hebrew. Let's see if we can discern any of this.
מה שקורה בערי ישראל בימים האחרונים הוא בלתי נסבל. אנחנו ראינו פורים ערבים, מציתים בתי כנסת, מציתים מכוניות.
Let me translate for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Hamas. He started out by saying, we thank you, the government of Gaza, Hamas. We thank you for uniting the people of Israel like never before. We thank you for that. I mean, it was really... It's pretty good. We owe you a huge debt of gratitude. You have succeeded where we have failed, because never before in the history of the modern state of Israel has the Jewish people been so united, like one person with one heart. In other words, against you is what he said. And he said, I give you 24 hours. 24 hours. He told him that there's formal notice to you. Tanks artillery, air support, all massed at the Gaza border.
Love it.
And we're coming in.
Kill
if you.
You
don't stop shooting these rockets. We're coming in. And he said this. This time, we will not leave.
No, they're going to kill them. Everybody.
This
everybody
time,
dies.
We're saying and we're taking over.
Yeah.
And to the rest of the world, he said, we're sick of you talking about, you know, using restraint. We're tired of you. If your city was being attacked by your neighboring country, you would not say, hey, you would not use restraint.
That's
You'd
right.
go after them with all the tools that you have.
Right.
I would like to read the speech, but it's too long. And he gave it in Hebrew, but I urged everybody to go to, I don't know, what's a famous Jewish newspaper?
Jewish Voice.
The Jewish Voice, and read this speech.
Well, you'll hear it later on today, but he's basically giving them 24 hours or they're all going to die, and he doesn't want to hear from anybody else. Now, Biden came out yesterday and said they have the right to defend themselves, which is too little and too late, but he's not looking for that. Bibi doesn't care. You're with us, you're not with us. You got 24 hours or you're all going to die. And we don't want to hear it. So.
We dropped leaflets over the northern parts of the Gaza Strip where we're going to invade.
Good.
And warning the civilians of our impending arrival. You guys have been hiding among civilians. We don't care.
Don't care.
You got 24 hours to surrender gracefully or we're coming in.
I love it. God, I love him. He's like Trump, so. And that's why those two guys got along.
Hey, that's what people respect, strength.
I totally agree.
Strength. Peace through strength.
Yep.
That's it.
Medina Spirit is going to run Saturday. And the overwhelming favorite, right now 9-5, less than 2-1. So Baffert Horse, who won the Kentucky Derby, will race this Saturday. Pimlico, the Preakness Stakes, just announced. And again, going off at 9-5. Bobby's in Fort Lee, New Jersey, line 1, as we wrap up this show. Bobby, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Sid, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What's a compulsive gambler like you still giving out sports picks?
When have I done that?
And then I won't be able to tune in anymore and listen to your douchey come-ons and name-dropping.
Okay. So you like the show, obviously.
Thank you, Bobby, for the call.
No, leave him on. You like the show, Bob?
I don't know. You know, I'm working out here. Mm-hmm. I got my girl laying down naked.
Yeah.
And you just crack me up. You're such a hypocrite, Sidney.
I'm a hypocrite?
I mean, Sid the Squid, yeah.
Is that right?
Honestly, all you have to do is change the dial. That's all you have to do.
Why do you listen? I'm just curious.
You're the one that takes all the steroids?
What's that?
You're a steroid user, right?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Good enough to kick your ass. Goodbye. Goodbye, pussy. Get off my phone.
Hey,
anytime you want, Bobby. I'm right here on 3rd Avenue and 49th Street. Tough guy.
Listen, thanks to Heshy for sending me that speech. It was terrific. And Jim acknowledging that our governor did not go to Officer Anastasio Sakos' funeral.
Yes, he did.
Our
not.
Governor right. did not go.
And Biden didn't go to the cop's funeral right down the block from his house in Delaware, which Luke Pettigrew pointed out.
Not even a shout out.
Nope, nothing.
And thanks to, what's his name from Fort Lee? We're sending Sid out. Sid's going for a workout right now, yeah. And you just motivated him like nothing else.
I didn't even raise my voice. I would have let him talk for 10 hours.
Nah.
I'm a hypocrite. I'm a junkie. I'm a gambler.
I mean,
and he's laying there with some naked girl who, by the way, wants to bang me, Bobby, but that's fine. She's yours.
She's probably related to him.
Probably.
I don't even want to speculate.
I know. I love guys who listen every day and sit on the radio for hours and hours and call in and make fools of themselves. Anyway, we enjoyed today's show. We hope you did, too. Great guest list today. We are back again tomorrow with another great guest list. So make sure you tune in at 6:30 for the best morning show in New York, if not the country. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Enjoy your sunny Thursday, folks. Until tomorrow at 6:30. Peace!